aboard, you people. Starship Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Mm-hmm. I like how you just said, what was that? I was like, what? That sound. Thunder.
Oh.
The thunder.
Thunder scares me, though.
I know. You need your thunder shirt.
I know. I do. And it's not. And my thunder shirt is in the wash.
Oh, gee. This is not the day for that.
No, it is not.
No.
You're also joining us on the CLTV, I should point out to everybody as well. We got a lot going on here. And I want everybody to enjoy the this end of summer. Really very much the end of summer. So much the end of summer. It's really the fall. Thunderstorm complex that is over us right now. It's a combination of the two things. Demetrius Ivory is going to explain it to us coming up in just a little bit, because it is, it's what happens this time of year is you get gray white skies, which is a feature of the fall and the winter here, and that mixes with these big thunderstorms, and it scares me. I was in the hamper just a few minutes ago.
Yeah, you just came out. I'm glad you're you got the courage together to come out and face.
Shirt?
I do. I do now, because again, it's in the dryer and it shrinks. It's supposed to feel better. I don't know. All right, listen, we got a lot to get to. Demetrius is going to join us in just a few minutes. Also, A.D. Quigg, Crane's Chicago Business, she's going to talk about this teacher strike. You heard John talking about this. You were listening on the World Wide Web or whatever. Over the last couple of days, you've heard about the teacher strike vote, and it could come as early as October 8th, I believe. Is that right, Kim? Is that what you just said?
October 7th.
October 7th. And so we...
They certainly have the support. That's what you learned today. What, 94% of the membership said that they would approve of a strike if that's what the leaders of the union decide to do, and that they don't come to terms with the city. Doesn't mean there will be one. It just means that they are poised for that to happen October 7th.
And the city is potentially looking at a total of three strikes at the same time, because you have these other CPS support workers as well as possibly Park District workers.
And why do the Park District people go out then? I mean, they're up as well. In terms of, AD will explain this whole thing to us, but it seems that would be the backup, right, during school strikes.
Right, that's such a triple whammy for parents, because where are you going to put your kids?
Right, because they did those. That's where they've
that's
gone in the past, to field houses and things like that.
And aren't the police and firefighter contracts also, those have not been resolved at this time. So there's a lot going on in terms of resolving these contracts over the next few weeks.
I believe the police and firefighters are still working off a contract from 1968, if I'm not sure. It seems like I asked them, I go, are you guys working on your contract? Oh, yeah, no, we've been out of contract for years. That's how it goes. We'll get to it. They'll get to us. Don't you worry about it. So that is all what is happening. Also on the program today, now, let me just explain how this is going to go. We're in a rain delay on the White Sox. It was going to be a doubleheader for the White Sox. We're back on the radio right here. The White Sox, we believe, and if I could just ask Carm what he thinks about this, that maybe by 4 o'clock they may start again. They're trying to get this thing underway.
Yeah, I heard 3:45, bro, but I don't know. I'm looking out the window like everybody else. I'm seeing lightning. There's... I am skeptical, but that's what they're saying. So perhaps it's not a heavy rain. They could play around this if they want to, but lightning's a whole other thing.
Sure it is. And there are two waves. I know Demetrius will let us know more about this, but this afternoon it gets some more potential for severe stuff moving in. So maybe they'll get that first game in before.
All they need to do is get 5.5 innings in the first game.
Sure.
Even if it's totally sunny outside, I think they're going to call it after 5.5.
We're
because,
done.
Because they got to get the next game in. They can't really push these things off because this is the end of the season. They only have two baseball days
what
left.
What do they do this weekend?
Well, the games mean absolutely nothing for Detroit. They're the worst team in baseball. They're going to have the number one overall pick. But they do mean something for the White Sox as far as where they will draft. So the rest of baseball wants these games to be played. The White Sox are not necessarily, you know, they're not in tank mode here. This isn't Bulls basketball. So, it does matter come the draft what happens this weekend. So that is a factor.
But there are times where the season does not, the schedule, if it is not relevant, doesn't get played all the way out.
Yep, that's absolutely true. Absolutely.
There's 182 games on the schedule. There are teams almost every year that may only get 180 games in.
162.
I'm sorry, 162.
Don't make it any longer than
it
is.
I know, it already is. It seems like 182. 162, so they get in 161, 160,
196.
Something like that. So they don't, that's, but And in that case, how does baseball handle that with the draft? They just try to figure that out, right? Wherever they fall.
Right. It's just, I guess the record will be at that point with 161 games where you placed at that point. So they're not going to add on a loss or tack on a win.
Yeah.
So I might have to call Rob Manfred to completely confirm that, but I'm pretty confident.
Do that for us, okay?
By the way, the Cubs are in tank mode, so these games are huge for them as they try to, you know, get behind the Diamondbacks and get a lower, higher draft pick is what I'm trying to say.
Well, they're not that bad, though. Right, they just missed the playoffs.
Well, yeah, but they're fall. I started looking at this. Well, you could fall behind Arizona and fall behind. There's one more they could fall by. I don't have it in front of me right now.
Hey, so. Carm, can I interrupt you for just a second?
Yes.
I'm just seeing a tweet from the White Sox, and they're saying they're expected to start at 350.
Yeah, Dave Zaslowski, our executive producer of White Sox Baseball, texting me the same thing right now too. So 350 is what they're shooting for.
All right.
Seems optimistic to me, Ro, but hey, that's what they're saying.
I'm looking out here.
Does everyone have the same view? Are we all looking at this together? Who makes this call? I mean, is there any sign of letting up? We have a pretty darn good view from our 18th floor.
Yeah, and
studios.
We're not that far from the.
Well,
I mean, in terms of
far.
Like you know, in terms of weather distance, it's not a whole big difference between here and 35th and Shields,
really
right?
Not, no.
So I don't know.
We'll ballpark that at 3.2 miles, so we're close to. The south side.
Right. And there's a flash flood watch. I don't even know what that... I mean, I was...
What do you have for that?
I have panic for that. That's what I have. I've never really ever run into that situation, though. So, thank God. But that can be particularly dangerous. All right, I see what they're looking at. I see what they're looking at now. I'm looking at the radar. I got the radar in front of me.
Okay.
And I can see...
There's a little break there?
Yeah, there's a little break.
It says... Dave is texting me, too. It stopped raining there, and they are removing water from the tarp. So, there's that.
Gosh, seems real.
Yeah, we are at the very last piece of this. Somehow it's still storming over
our
building at Wacker, East Wacker Drive. That's what it's doing.
Something across the street from us just got struck by lightning a few minutes ago. I don't know. One of the antenna. It was great. So you saw it or you saw a report of it?
What?
No. I actually watched the antenna. I mean, antennas on buildings on high rises get struck by lightning all the time.
That's so what they're intended for. Some of those are lightning attractors.
But I'm not sure if it was NBC Tower right across the river from us or if it was the building behind it. I saw the lightning bolt just come straight down in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now all of a sudden alarm's going off.
Oh, yeah, do you hear that?
What is that?
That's got to be serious.
Yeah, more lightning.
National Weather Service has issued a severe thunderstorm warning for Grundy County beginning at 3:15 p.m.
Okay.
Does anybody... Oh, that's south. Okay, south and west.
Mm-hmm.
So, I see what's going on. Like Streeter... That area right there. Okay. Yeah, I can see that that's it. Now, is that heading toward? I think that's going to miss us. There's another line of this, essentially. So keep your eyes to the skies. Just because this is moving out doesn't mean that there isn't more behind it. Demetrius Ivory, as a matter of fact, is going to join us in about 2.5 minutes and tell us exactly what it is that is going on there. In the meantime, Kim, can you tell us what's happening in the news at the bottom of the hour?
One theater chain has released a new policy for the upcoming movie Joker. We'll explain coming up.
Hey! Rob Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN and WGN Everywhere. We're going to be rejoining the Chicago White Sox at about 3:50 on the radio side. We continue on the World Wide Web until further notice. Right?
Sure.
Got a lot going on, so stay tuned. The normal show hours thereabouts are going to be heard right here at WGNRadio.com and anywhere on the World Wide Web, any app, any way you can listen to audio, and just ask to listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn. That's what we ask that you do. All right.
Please do.
Demetrius Ivory is joining us right now from the WGN TV newsroom. And your weather wall, that's where you are currently.
Yeah.
Yep. Now, we had a little bit of a disagreement here in the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis, between Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantis.
No,
about,
we did.
Wow, I didn't know that happened.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It did
frequently.
In this particular case, yes, as a matter of fact. So we were looking outside. And it looks like all hell's breaking loose. And yet the White Sox said it stopped raining there, and they're cleaning off the field, and everything is going to be just fine.
They're good to go at 350.
I think they are really anxious to get this game in. It's not looking so bad right now. We do have some showers, but you're looking at the cloud cover across the area, and certainly some rain. But there is going to be a bit of a break that's going to come our way. Couple hours. I don't know what inning these guys are in, but
they haven't started yet.
Oh, they haven't started.
They have a doubleheader, so just need to get 5.5 in, Demetrius. I know the trick here.
Yeah. They want to because you have to. I mean, you're running up against the end of the season, so I do think they're going to be able to get to maybe they have 5.5 in. You know, pitch, swing at everything, and then you might be be able to get it done.
Right, like a little league game, because there's another team that just showed up at the diamond, and you got to get off, and you know you were late.
Right.
All right. So you're swinging at every pitch, and then what time do they have to be off by? What time's the next set of these storms moving through?
Round coming in, you know, could be as late as 7 p.m. And it could hold off until after the sun goes down. But right now, our models are showing that, you know, we are going to clear out momentarily. We do have the heaviest of the rain. It's way south of that area, but you know, the models just kind of leaving rain in with a heavier line arriving or pulling in during the 7 o'clock hour, so right around 8 p.m. So, you know, it's going to be one of those touch and go things, but I do think there's going to be the potential to get some baseball in over the next few hours, even if you have to deal with a little bit of drizzle, cloud cover, and you know, all of that. But then I think after, you know, right around the time the sun goes down, we're looking at a more powerful line that's going to come in. It's the type of stuff that you can't play ball in. I don't know
more powerful than what's just gone through here.
Yeah, I don't know about two games this evening. That is very optimistic.
And what does that carry? You said some potential for some severe stuff later. What are you talking about there, Demetrius?
Well, we're on the lookout for really almost everything. As a cold front comes through later today, there's going to be the potential for wind gusts 60 miles per hour or so. There's going to be the potential for hail, which could reach quarter diameter hail. And there's an off chance, south and west mainly of the city, not so much in Chicago, but in some of our southern and western communities, where we could have some isolated tornadoes because of some of the dynamics with the low-level jet kind of moving up along this front. So we're on the lookout for everything. It's certainly going to be a stormy night, and I'd say the big headline weather-wise is the flooding. There's a flash flood watch, which is basically for the whole region. That's in effect through late tonight. Some areas have already seen well over an inch of rain, and we could be looking at another 1 to 3 coming in some areas before tonight is done. So big problems for the White Sox, big problems for football. We could be looking at some very heavy downpours coming
for high school football tonight, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so is there any anticipation that this won't happen, right? I mean, it's pretty likely.
Well, if you see me call off for the second half of the day, then it won't happen. Because that means I just really bombed on this one. But there will be rain. I don't know. You know, I'm not so much sold on the severe aspects of this thing. We're just not warming up much. We're not getting much sunlight. We know that there's going to be some dynamics in place. There's a lot to create those powerful storms. But, you know, boy, it's quite cool out there. I mean, 60s out there at this time. Typically, you don't get those more powerful, severe parameters reached when you're talking about cooler temperatures. So,
right, unless it hits a really warm temperature.
Yeah, so the rain will happen. The heavy rain will happen, and unfortunately, it looks like the flooding is going to happen in some areas also. The severe storms, the severe winds, the large hail, and the tornadoes. You know, right now, the cloud cover that you see out there is actually working to our advantage because it's keeping that instability down and kind of lowering the chance of that.
It's very dramatic downtown because there's a low cloud cover moving very fast, moving at what looks to be like 30, 40 miles an hour, and then it breaks to show the higher cloud cover, which is lighter
in
color.
Different direction.
Yeah.
Lighter in it. You know, as a meteorologist.
It's a little scary, man.
As a meteorologist, that's what we like to see. Not necessarily the wind shear, not necessarily a change in wind direction with height, but we'd love to see the cloud cover because you add a little bit of sunlight to this and, you know, you could be talking about some more powerful storms because there is a front that's going to come through later tonight. That's going to provide lift by itself.
What about the rest of the weekend?
Well, the rest of the weekend, Saturday's not a complete washout. I'm telling folks.
Oh, good.
Yeah. My folks at my local Blocktoberfest are just all on me. They just want this to happen. I said, I wouldn't cancel. There's this chance for a shower or a thunderstorm, but kind of a passing thing. Not everybody going to see that Saturday. Now, tomorrow it's going to be cool, though. High temperatures only in the mid-60s. So, yeah, it's going to be fall-like there, late fall-like there. Then into Sunday, we'll have a chance for showers and storms. Right now, it looks like that would be for the tailgate for the Bears game, but not necessarily early for the Bears.
So, like, morning into the afternoon, because the Bears are at 3:25 on Sunday.
Right. So, morning into early afternoon. That's what it's looking like, at least this far out.
Obviously, see, this is what I'm concerned about. These are the things right now concerned about. Yes, I'm concerned about the tailgating, and I'm concerned about what the Bears game looks like.
I got you. I'm singing your song. You know, I say we're certainly looking at rain probably ahead of the game. But probably not during the game. So, you know, so bet the over.
That's the kind of information that is needed. Thank you, Demetrius.
I don't know what you meant by that, Demetrius. I have no idea.
You have no idea how many folks call when there's a big windstorm coming. They're like, so that storm, it's...
Right, you know what they're getting
is
at.
Is it going to hit NIU?
Oh,
you're a degenerate.
Actually, are these people?
Actually, you got to worry when they call and they go, hey, the Lions Township game a little later on. Tell me, what are you hearing?
What are those winds going to be? Are those winds a sure bet? I'm like, boy, you really in the winds.
Are betting on high school?
Oh, my God.
People.
In the stands. I swear to God, you know what? I wouldn't have to be here if I could just be a bookie in the stands. especially at some of the different, like in the western suburbs for sure. I mean, it's crazy. Catholic League South Side. You want to go down to that Rita Marist game, and you want, I'm telling you right now, you want to be working both sidelines.
Yes. I'll tell you what, that's our next promo. We always get people coming up saying, you know, he kept our family safe. I want the guy who's like, he told me, bet me under.
Uh-huh. I made some money off of that, Demetrius Ivory.
I made some money off him when he forecasted those wins. That's my guy.
The Chicago Half Marathon, people are letting us know also. Thank you, the texters. This weekend, Sunday.
Well, that's early, though. It'll be raining on them.
Yeah, it could potentially be raining on them. And for those folks, you don't want the thunderstorms, obviously. What you really don't want is an extremely warm day. So warm or humid day, because that's where races have the most problems with folks overheating and just doing a little bit too much. So it's not going to be too warm. That's good. We are expecting some showers, maybe some thunderstorms. Hopefully we won't get the thunder and lightning that early in the day. But I would prepare for kind of a wet run. Wet and cool run, which as a runner, you love that.
All right. Demetrius Ivory, WGN-TV Weather Center at the Weather Wall, which is looks very much like a pastel-y thing in back of him because there's greens and reds and yellows.
It looks paisley almost.
Yeah, it's almost paisley.
They'll be in your neighborhood later tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it. There he goes. Demetrius Ivory. All right, we're going to check in with Kim Gordon. She's got the WGN News from the WGN Radio Newsroom coming your way in 2 minutes.
Men.
Well, okay, so school's not exactly out for summer. It just might be out for ever.
I'm not
100% sure. A.D. Quigg from Crane Chicago Business joining us right now. The Chicago Teachers Union members have voted to strike over money and benefits and all the sorts of things people go to strike about. But I have noticed some editorializing. I don't believe it was in Crane's, though, A.D., so I don't want to necessarily quote the competition, but they're saying that this what is on the table right now for teachers is a pretty good deal given the circumstances of everything else that is going on here. How contentious are these? Obviously, now you have a 90% or whatever it was, 94% vote to strike. Does it seem likely that we're going to get to that by October 7th?
Get to a deal? I have no idea. Mayor Lori Lightfoot has said this is an unprecedentedly generous deal. Teachers would get a 16% hike over a 5-year contract. They would have to pick up a little bit more in health care costs, but the mayor has said over and over this is a very generous deal. We were in very dire fiscal straits at Chicago Public Schools only 2 years ago, and we're just now starting to catch up with the money that we need from the state. Now, the teachers have demanded that CPS makes some major moves to hire nurses, social workers, librarians, counselors, and also want smaller class sizes, arguing that, hey, we have a lot more money from Springfield. We have a lot of catching up to do on the things that our students need. CTU has said that CPS has not been completely forthcoming at the bargaining table, which is probably why we saw this 94% strike authorization vote this week. But there is, you know, 10 days more of bargaining before they could walk out on strike. If they do strike, I expect it to be a little bit later than October 7th so that CTU and SEIU can team up because SEIU has authorized a strike for janitors, custodians, bus drivers, and there's also a strike authorization at the Chicago Park District, which usually accepts kids if there is a strike for daytime programming. So this could be, you know, 35,000 workers out on the street later next month and a lot of kids without somewhere to go.
Yeah, that's what you think about. I mean, parents normally would say, hey, park districts are a place that typically do absorb a lot of the children for a safe place to be during the day if there's a strike. And we've seen that historically. The timing of this, is there, how is this all happening exactly at the same moment? Is it because we have a new mayor and everyone's coming to the table with needs, or just happened to time out this way?
It happened to time out this way. SEIU has actually authorized a strike back in July. Park District has a little bit of a shorter timeline, but this is pretty fortuitous timing for the union side. And this is why strikes work, right? All your labor walks out at once. It pressures the powers that be to give you what you want.
Right. And Lori Lightfoot, you know, who has been she's been a prosecutor. She's been a corporate lawyer. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's been in some tough negotiations.
No stranger.
Would be my guess. And she has been a cool and tough customer thus far as mayor, at least, you know, in public pronouncement. I don't know what goes on behind the scenes, but it certainly seems to be she's tough. She's tough talking, and in part because she can. She, you know, was not in the political world before, and she has a 3 out of 4 voter mandate, one could argue, to lead the city based on her overwhelming win. I wonder how much political capital she's willing to give up on this, because it seems that these organizations, right, because people who live in the city have a lot of city workers who live in the city because they're required.
Right.
To live here, mm-hmm. right? So that's
a huge voting base.
Yes, and many of them grouse about it because it's an expensive to live in safe neighborhoods. It's expensive housing bases and
sure.
all of that. It's a difficult situation. So this is a moment where she's going to have to. This is going to be her first of many tough tests ahead, and the city is busted broke. AD, haven't we talked about this already? That
we
the
have.
City's got no dough left?
Yeah, that's the hard part, AD, because I want to ask you about that, because you have the $838 million budget shortfall that we've talked extensively about after the mayor's first address on this issue, but now you have this situation where it's not just the teachers and the other groups that you describe, the janitors, custodians, and the park district, but we're still waiting for a firefighter and police contract for the
that's
rank
right.
and file. That's still
that's right.
hanging out there, with major raises and increases also being considered on the table there.
Right. And another interesting aspect of this is there are a lot of progressive aldermen that Mayor Lori Lightfoot would need to make these tough budget votes who are very closely aligned with the Chicago Teachers Union, including Lightfoot's workforce development chairman, Sue Sedlowski-Garza, who you might have seen in a viral clip at this Bernie Sanders rally that they held early this week. It's a difficult dance. There's things you can say publicly, and then there's things you could say at the negotiating table. Lightfoot has volunteered to come and sit down at the negotiating table, but she wants the high sign from union officials that she's welcome there. We all remember in 2012 when Mayor Rahm Emanuel and then CTU President Karen Lewis were battling over their contract back then.
Oh, boy.
Rahm slipped up when he basically told Lewis, F you, and it just soured.
I don't think he basically did that.
Was that perceived wrong?
I think
how does that ever work out well?
Might have slipped out of it. And then, you know, but, you know, it's almost a half F you with that finger, so you're never quite sure exactly what
oh, I think
saying.
She heard it loud and clear.
Yeah.
It was, yeah, that set the tone for everything. And that's
right.
that's around the time that they change the level that you needed to get authorized a strike.
Correct.
Before that, it was like a majority, right? And then they moved it to this crazy
75%. Yeah,
and then the teachers
the union then blew by. Yeah, it's very political and open. There's only so much that CPS and the mayor can say publicly about the state of negotiations, and it doesn't really help Lightfoot to take too much of a combative position other than to repeat over and over, this is a very generous contract offer. We think it would do well to teachers, and we're making the investments that we can afford in the support staff that you want. It could get a little bit testier as we get closer to the day, but we'll have to wait and see.
But that support staff would not necessarily be CTU, right?
Yes, they would.
The nurses would be CTU as well?
Yes. Sue Sadlowski-Garza actually was a counselor at the school that she worked at before she became alderman, and she's a proud CTU member.
Okay, so counselors I know would be CTU, but I thought that other aligned professionals have a different certificate. That's very interesting.
There are some who are represented by SEIU, but the majority that CTU is talking about wanting more staffing of would be represented by the union.
Right, they want special ed services, social workers, librarians, nurses. They have critical needs in all of those areas, they say. And those are strikeable issues because you can't strike over just pay alone, isn't that right? You can't just hit the picket lines. I know there are laws about what teachers
pay and benefits, and there's some wiggle room on working conditions, but correct. The CPS and the mayor contend that a lot of these issues that they're being most public about are not technically legally strikable, but there's some wiggle room about working conditions because teachers have said, you know, we should have smaller class sizes because we are extremely overworked and our students should have access to nurses and social workers because they're dealing with trauma in their neighborhoods.
I want to go back to the idea of Lori Lightfoot actually getting into the room here. What are you hearing about? Are there any inside rumblings from her office about how willing she is to do that? Does she want to do that? Who's trying to keep her out?
That I don't know. I know that she likes being a negotiator. I'm sure this is something that she is anxious to do. But neither the union nor Lightfoot have said she will come to the table on this day. That's a kind of wait and see. And yeah. I think as it gets closer to that October 7th date or whatever cutoff date that the union's House of Delegates sets, we might see the mayor getting more personally involved.
It's interesting when you have somebody who's first time in as mayor. Often politicians come in for the close, right? Things have already been negotiated, and then when they come and they sit down, they kind of want the photo op of that. In her case, it would be interesting to see if her professional instinct and personal instinct is to actually roll up her sleeves and jump in there beforehand, if it's getting critical. Because it does, it very much, the one thing that I noticed with her throughout the campaign is she's a very much all hands on deck kind of person. Mm-hmm. And in politics and the ramifications of being all hands on deck over years that, you know, that knocks you out of that. Politicians eventually, just like, you know, Mayor Daley used to have a trap door beneath him at all times, wherever he was.
It's like, where did he go?
Yes. You know, like you'd be talking to him, you turn around and he was just gone. He had a disappearing act.
Some of the best politicians in this state do have that.
And so Lori Lightfoot hasn't and may not be in her character to learn that, but she certainly hasn't yet. And it'll be fascinating to see if she jumps in. Because, again, we do have a situation where the city is broke. Mm-hmm. There's only if you're ramping up all these different things and you still have many more to go, as you point out, Anna, you got the first responders, both police and fire. Are coming up, and then you've got, or they're already up, but they've got to negotiate those deals. And then if you have SEIU jumping in on the ancillary, I shouldn't say ancillary, but
support staff,
the support staff folks for the schools, right? Your janitors,
right? Custodians,
custodian people like that. That is a big deal. So, you know,
the stakes are very high. The stakes are very high, and I just can't get over this timing of this potential strike. Mayor Lightfoot's budget introduction, which is scheduled for October 23rd, and her having to go down to Springfield during this veto session to possibly get some changes to casinos and maybe some pension relief. It's a lot for a new politician to take on, and it's going to be... Plus, we have this environment of all these federal raids going on, just kind of adding to a general sense of chaos. I can't imagine what she wakes up and thinks about every morning.
Yeah.
It's a lot on her.
Well, when she goes down to Springfield, she may see some of those trucks pulling up in Springfield and taking those guys out of the offices down there, too.
Why is there butcher paper over his office?
Wasn't
so strange.
Oh, my God. Although you do wonder. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. This is really much more of a podcast situation for us, AD, than it is, you know, because this will take more time to explain. But it does seem that some of the politicians that have been very guiding, some would say protecting, of some of the big public sector unions may be running into a bit of an issue here. And it's and not related to their relationship to the unions necessarily, no. but they are still going to be having some issues. And so you do wonder how much air cover those union leaders who would be depending on some of those folks are going to be. And then you got just the, you know, your standard stuff. It's funny, I had a political operative call me earlier today and say, and if it's a Chicago political operative, you know, what they got to sound like, right? Like, so what are you hearing? What are you hearing? What's going on with Lyons? What's going on?
With what?
With Lyons, you know, town of Lyons.
Oh, with the, right, you know, the town of Lyons.
In Sandoval. Sorry. Sandoval. What's going on? What do you hear? What do you hear? And everybody wants to know, you know, what if this is a mountain being climbed by federal prosecutors here?
Because the charges haven't come, but there have been a lot of raids.
That's my big warning. We don't know what the charges are in most of these cases, and there are plenty of other shoes to drop.
Right.
And this could be the tip of the iceberg, and this could take several years to play out.
Yeah, because if the charges haven't been... Generally, when they grab a guy, you know, 80% of cases, not necessarily public corruption, but in all other cases, when they arrest a guy, they charge him. If you're not charging a guy, you're squeezing a guy. That's
the
only
way around.
You're
trying to get somebody else, the bigger target, usually.
Be very fascinating. AD, you're at the right place at the right time.
It's the best job.
All right.
We love hearing from you, so thank you.
Anytime.
All right. Thank you very much.
AD Quigg.
AD Quigg from Cranes.
Right. Boy, that's a beat to be covering right now, isn't it? Gee.
She's got all of those things, too. I do, but this guy, he's like, all right, no, seriously, what's up with Sandoval? And I'm like, well, how do I know what's up with Sandoval?
Each of these raids has elicited that exact question because you're trying to connect dots. What do the feds know? Who are they going after? What does this mean?
I'm like, what are you so worried about? That's what I wanted to say to the guy. Why are you calling me? I immediately wanted to start recording the phone call.
I'm recording you.
Hey, easy. What do you mean? What?
I thought you started talking in code at that point, Ro. Isn't that what happens?
Yeah, I would normally do that, except I wanted to squeeze this guy's shoes a little bit when he was, you know, asking me these questions. Because that's when you got to go, what's with the names? Your mother-in-law just walked into the room. Just remember that. All right. Oh, Chicago White Sox baseball is coming your way on WGN Radio in just a couple of seconds here. If you would like to continue to the Rokan Show, continue to listen to the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, go to WGNRadio.com, go to the WGN app, or go to any smart speaker or other device you listen to audio on TuneIn. Chicago White Sox baseball is on the air.
All right, we continue right here on the worldwide web.
I believe they have backed it up to 4 o'clock, Ro.
I was just told. Thank you, Carm.
That's an important update.
I got to tell you something, and I'd just like to share this with everybody on the CLTV and the WGN radio, obviously, that we're still on, and the WGN audience. That was one of my most perfect joins ever. I was just told 350 on the nose.
It was so good. That
it was honestly award-winning.
Yeah, thank you.
It totally was.
I didn't want to interrupt you. It was so good. I'm like, no, don't do that. It's not time.
Yeah. Why interrupt that perfect piece of art?
Although I can't quite figure this out, but the station has gone to commercials.
Oh.
I keep getting so confused because my soundboard here keeps going from the stream back to the terrestrial, and then I get different programming in my ears, and I'm like, oh, wait, I have to follow them now to the stream. Now I have to follow them back to the radio.
All right, so for CLTV, let's take a commercial break, and we're going to stay right here on the web, and if you're listening to us on the web, you get to hear what this sounds like when the microphones are off because we're going to have a conversation. So CLTV, we'll be right back. Show with Anna DeVlantis and WGN everywhere.
We've got it figured out now.
Yeah, we got it all worked out.
Sure.
Don't worry about a thing. We're fine. Also, the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on CLTV as well until 4 o'clock. And the WGN radio broadcast has now moved over to White Sox pregame. And White Sox are going to attempt to get a doubleheader in on the radio. Even though there's about a two-hour window before all hell breaks loose in the weather again.
Yeah, it looks a little dicey. Think about getting two games in, not just one, but two.
So they could just go real fast. That would really be good. Just keep pitching. You know what they should do? They should have an automatic strikeout where, you know how you can now just have a guy walk?
It's a great idea.
Right. Just send the guy up, and then the offense gets to go, yeah, he's going to strike out anyway. All right, keep moving.
2-2 count. Let's
go. Well, this
go.
Would be a great time to experiment with some of those ideas they're thinking about to speed up baseball. Put them all out there.
Coming up on the World Wide Web after 4 o'clock, Jen DeSalvo will be telling us what's coming up in the weekend. It's, we've got Lauren's List,
She has her agenda.
Because she's Jen DeSalvo. Right. What's on my weekend agenda?
Yeah, I'd like to know what's on your agenda. And because generally it's you running 100 miles or something for a cheeseburger and then running back. I don't know what the hell that's all about.
Exactly.
Yes, and then Adam Hoge is going to get us ready for the Chicago Bears. So if you're watching on CLTV and want to continue to listen here, go to WGNRadio.com. Or on your phone, just ask your phone minder, whoever that voice is, to let you listen to WGN Radio on TuneIn.
Right. As Samuel Jackson.
Yeah. Siri, or what's the one for the non-Apple phones? For the is there a name to your
well, not the A word and not Siri, so it's who else is there?
If you ask your phone, who are you talking to? Because when I'm asking, I'm talking to Siri. Who are you people talking to that are on the phones that
the
turn green?
I think there's also a Hey Google or something like that.
Yeah. Oh, it's okay that. Yeah. We don't want to. Now we're setting everybody else's phones off.
Everyone's
when
like,
we do
stop.
That.
Stop. Stop.
That. That's right. Especially if people are listening. Like, if they're listening on the web, they're often listening on their smart speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I said they're going crazy.
So
right
when you tell them, when you do things like that, then all of a sudden they wake up, they go, excuse me? What can I do for you? How can I interrupt?
I know that they're trying to make these smart speakers smarter and smarter, and I would say that they kind of are getting smarter and smarter. If you find they talk to you a little more now, like mine wished me a good morning this morning. I was like, wait a minute. I just asked you what time it is.
Right. You know what it is?
They started a conversation. They didn't start a conversation.
Right. They go, oh, enjoy the rain or something.
Yes,
I don't want to enjoy the
minute.
Rain.
Where'd that come from?
I don't enjoy rain.
Like, how do you know it's a good morning?
Yeah. And they know things you don't know, and I don't like the fact that they know things you don't know.
They've got a lot figured out.
I don't know if they have a lot. Whatever they have is very disturbing to me. So I just want everybody to be, you know. I just want to figure out how I could tell people to listen to us on the digital, because that's really where this is all heading.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest. Sounds better. It's a better signal. And
sure.
You can get us anywhere in the world at any given time.
Isn't that cool?
Whatever it is that you want to listen to, we're right here on your worldwideness.
Terrific.
Yes. And eventually, I'm telling you, if I could, this is an opportunity for me to talk to the Ukrainian president.
If he keeps listening.
I think he might. Oh, I think right now he's not listening to anything. I think right now he's hiding under his bed. Like, I don't know what to do. I'm going to go back. I'm sorry. I did not want to leave television to become president. I'm going to go back now. Yeah, the guy was like a TV character, right, or something? I mean, he was not a politician, this guy who's Ukrainian president. He was a comedian and then a TV host, right? And then all of a sudden, he's now, it's like John Oliver, although John Oliver wasn't born in the United States, we don't think. He's got a funny accent, though. But it's basically like, I don't know, it's like
Reagan?
Stephen Colbert. It's like Stephen Colbert becoming president of the United States. He thinks he could do it. But then when he actually gets into it, you're like, oh.
Not so easy, huh?
Oh, you're kidding me. Oh, no. Because if you really care about stuff, it's going to be very difficult. But if you don't care about stuff, it's pretty easy. It's just, you know, get on the plane and fly around, say all kinds of crazy things, and then you just keep going. Don't worry about it. Get me Ukraine on the phone.
Yeah, he had that show where he was a teacher who wanted to be president. And he was a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And then he becomes the president of the Ukraine, and then there he is.
It's like Tim Allen becoming president is basically what it's like. It's sort of the same deal. All right. I don't see Putin's fingerprints all over that. Don't worry about it.
No.
All right. Okay. Coming. So as I mentioned, the 4 o'clock hour, that's what you got. We're going to tell you what's going on over the weekend, and then we're also going to tell you about the Chicago Bears and the hopes and our hopes and dreams. I'm feeling a little dashed here. With my hopes and dreams about the Bears. I hope everybody else is feeling less dashed than I am.
Well, I thought that Packer game was nice last night, so that kind of helps.
Yeah, Packers lost.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Aaron Rodgers looked terrible.
I couldn't be happier. Because actually, it's funny that this should come up. Kim and I were talking about this game beforehand yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, boy, you know, I've been watching the Eagles the last couple of weeks. They really do not look good.
Yeah,
Eagles,
you curse me.
Right, Eagles are having they may have a really long and tough season here. And then last night, it was funny because you said you were worried about the offense. And there is real concern, I think, in Green Bay that this may be, you know, even though they were in good field position a number of times, they couldn't punch it into the end zone.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we're supposed to have such a great defense, and it was such a high-scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Even with not a great offense.
Right, against not a great offense.
Right.
Well, theoretically. Although, you know, Pete Wentz, who is now, I guess
Carson.
He's the guy. Oh, Carson Wentz.
Different guys. Pete Wentz is the guy we saw at the Green Tide Ball.
In the race for the top spot.
Right, I don't know what is actually happening here, but.
Genesis G70.
I'm hearing things. I don't know if I should be hearing. I don't know what that is.
Snap, Rodgers blips. Rodgers under pressure. Looks to right side. Jimmy Graham. Touchdown!
All right. I don't know. You know what? Now things are just happening. Is that happening in my head or that really
No,
occurring?
It's happening in my head, too.
I'm hearing it. Carm watching clips for his sports report.
I definitely just clicked on Green Bay, so that was definitely me.
Oh, Carm.
Carm.
What's going on?
What part do you not understand about putting things in audition?
I'm learning still, bro, clearly.
Yes.
Can I mention one thing? This guy, Jordan Howard, you know, he used to play for the Bears.
Right.
We traded him for a sixth-round pick. He was all over the field last night, just for the record.
He did very well.
That is true.
It's a nice showing.
That is true.
I know,
can't go backwards on these things, Carm. Oh. I just can't.
Okay.
Kim, why don't you go forwards with the WGN news? Brokaw Show with Anna DeBlancis on 720 WGN. Yes. When we're on the 720, the W and the GN. Coming up a little bit later on in the program, we're going to be joined by Ryan Dempster.
Great.
He is an MLB network analyst. You know, you'll be seeing Ryan during the playoffs, I think, or hearing him during the playoffs on the MLB
Will he use his Harry Carey voice?
I hope so.
I do, too.
And we also have, and he's got a lot of thoughts.
He does.
He's got thoughts on other things. And sometimes, you know what I find most interesting about him?
Hmm.
He's got Canadian thoughts. You know, those are not like everybody else's thoughts.
Tortured Canadian life.
Yeah. So I like that. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll be hearing from Mark McKinnon from The Circus. The greatest 30 minutes in television every weekend.
It's so good.
If you're interested in the political world and what's going on with these elections, they do it in such a wildly interesting way. Last week, they met with Donald Trump's Republican competitors.
Mm-hmm. Including Joe Walsh.
That did not go well for Joe Walsh.
Former congressman.
That's not what you like to say.
Did they ask him about his record? Is that why it didn't go well?
They asked about his Twitter account.
Who he is.
Yeah.
What he said.
So you'll hear a little bit of that in the interview with Mr. McKinnon today because we talk about that. And he is also, and they go to the rallies. They have it's a really interesting, show. And I would say it is one of the more balanced presentations you're going to find about politics.
Mm-hmm.
So at least that's the way I look at it. And also a conversation with Bob Iger, the chairman of the Walt Disney Company.
Nice.
Who just made a major announcement just minutes ago. Spider-Man is back.
Woo!
Spider-Man will maintain his position in the Marvel Universe through Disney distribution. There was because Sony owns Spider-Man. It's a long story as to why this corporately happened. But as Disney bought the rest of the Marvel Universe, they did not get Spider-Man. And then there was going to be a lend-lease agreement, if you will, between Sony and Disney for Spider-Man. And Disney walked away from it. They're like, we're not going to go with those terms. And the next thing you know, Spider-Man was going to have to get his own little movie company. And God, who knows what was going to happen.
That would have been terrible for poor Spider-Man. He deserves a big movie.
And he wasn't going to be in the mixing movies, you know, where they get them all together.
Uh-huh.
You know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
Even though half of them are dead.
They'll take on humanity.
Yeah. So whatever it is. So it looks like he's back in the fold now, Spider-Man.
Oh, for
everybody's, yeah,
good,
I know.
Good.
All right, that's all it's going
nice to be.
All right, Jen DeSalvo is in for Lauren Lapka today and all of next week. So what is happening? This is normally known as Lauren's List. Now we're having the agenda. See what we did there with Jen?
Agenda. Yeah.
Scott, it's my weekend
totally
agenda.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on?
I figured I'd do it all. Well, first and foremost, we'll talk about the Bears play the Vikings on Sunday at 3:45 p.m. Remember,
3:25 p.m.
Whoops. Let's start out with some fake news.
Could get delayed. Never know.
Weather.
Weather, lightning in the area. Yeah. Whatever, I get it. Yeah, okay.
Anyways, no paper tickets. You have to have the app. But for those of us who don't want to sell our firstborn in order to buy one of those tickets, there is the Oktoberfest at St. Alphonsus in Lakeview.
That is not, I'm sorry, that is not the same thing. See, I love St. A's. They're great. It's a great. That's a great church. That's a beautiful part of the world right there. Southport and Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
It's
love that area.
Better. It's fabulous out there. But St. Alphonsus is not going to the Oktoberfest. There is not exactly like seeing the Bears take on the Vikings.
No.
And this is one of the most important. It's hard to overestimate how important this game is for the season, because the NFC North, everyone's going to win every game. Anyway, separate issue. And we're told that the weather will be out of the way. It's going to be bad earlier in the day on Sunday.
But some of the tailgating may be affected, but it doesn't seem like the game. Well, Oktoberfest is under a tent typically, so that works out well. As long as there's no lightning, I guess, because you're not supposed to be under tents when there's lightning. But I digress. But if you want to drink more beer, you can drink it at a helicopter hangar at Vertiport.
Oh!
You guys ever been to Vertiport?
No, I have not.
Okay, so it's on the southwest side of the city, and it is the cool place where all of the news traffic helicopters stop to refuel when we cover things like, I don't know, a plane landing on Lakeshore Drive. Well, they're opening up the helicopter hangar to a beer festival. So there's tastings from 4 to 8 p.m.
tomorrow.
That
doesn't seem kosher to me. I don't know.
It's a little
close
weird, right?
To the,
bottle of throttle, that kind of thing.
I was wondering about that. You know, they're doing it at the hangar, and the hangar is right there if a helicopter lands that needs to refuel, you know, whether it be a news helicopter or one of the medical helicopters.
Right.
So I don't know if they're just closed off to the helicopters.
I would hope not, because it's the Vertiport.
Yeah.
So they open that for a very specific reason. Sometimes when you're making that turn on the Ryan, if you're coming north on the Ryan and you make that turn, you go straight west there as you're past the guaranteed rate, and then you're coming up and you turn left.
Yeah.
You see the helicopters rising up.
And you're like,
from
God,
there.
Where's it coming from?
Yes. Yep. And you're like, there's a problem. No, that's, and then it's a lot of tourism helicopters, and then there's commuter helicopters. You want to go to the airport, you want to go out there, they'll take you to different places.
Like, you can actually propose to somebody on the top of Trump Tower and take a helicopter ride and show them the top of Trump Tower. We've seen it before. From the air. It's pretty impressive.
People get engaged on the top of Trump Tower?
No. In a helicopter while their announcement is on the top of Trump Tower.
Oh.
Oh, you can pay for that.
Yeah.
And your nuptials announced right there.
Yeah, I have no idea how much it costs, but it's probably something I wouldn't be willing to spend. So,
Eric, you're in charge of that.
We trust you.
Now, I know that you guys have always wanted to do this, and now you totally can. Goat yoga at the farm.
Goat yoga?
Yeah.
How far away is the farm?
Naperville. So not far at all. Unless you're from the north side of the city and you never leave it, then
that's me.
It's like Iowa. So,
are there cul-de-sacs there? Road that gets very, very concerned when you see. I do too, actually. Cul-de-sacs are difficult for the city dwellers. But I've never tried the goat yoga, and I just love goats and I love yoga, so this is perfect.
Yeah, they have two different sessions on Sunday, one from 10 to 11, and then another from 11:30 to 12:30. And it's put on by Green Earth Harvest, so you can Google Green Earth Harvest or McDonald Farm, and they'll have that information there.
Can I get a price of the goat yoga, please?
Yes. It is $45 per participant for...
How much does a goat get for that?
They're like free labor.
I know.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
That's so sad.
That is awful what they're doing to those poor goats. The only thing I know about goat yoga is on that, when we're done with CLTV, CLTV is always on in the studio, and Jane Manzur's show is on.
Mm-hmm.
And they only shoot like 20 of those a year, and so we see the same ones over and over and over again, and there's always a goat crawling over her head.
I love those. Jane's so hot.
She is.
Yeah, she's definitely fit. Right person to be doing all
have
that.
Have you done the goat yoga, Jen?
I have not.
Okay.
No, I haven't done that, but I let my corgi walk on my back sometimes, so that helps things.
Upper Corner Bears tickets, 123 plus fees, 45 for the goat yoga. Tough call.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Put that out there.
How much for the upper deck?
123. Yeah.
If you multiply it by, $45 times 3 hours, it's about the same price. So, Your price per hour is about good. I'm always about biggest bang for your buff.
Going to the Bears over the goat yoga. Okay. But I'm not saying that that's for everybody. I'm just saying it's for me.
Well, if they show the game at the goat yoga, that would be like a combo.
What is the goat will freak out, though? You don't want the goat freaking out. What if you have a goat that just, like a fainting goat that just wants to stare at the television? That's not good. And so then he doesn't do his job.
I have to give a shout out to the fabulous festival in Grundy County, also known as the Morris Corn Festival, going on right now through the 29th. And on Sunday at 12:30, taking over Liberty Street, you can watch the Jesse White tumbling team with my alma mater, the On-Broadway Dance Company. And
I'm telling you, this is Ukrainian level corruption that's happening on the show right now. She's just promoting things that are really just down her alley.
When do we get to the 100-mile run?
I was gonna say you haven't heard me talk about an ultra marathon yet, have you?
No. Half marathon is Sunday.
What happened? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
No, what was the thing that you just
promoted?
For
school. So, yeah, I used to be part of a traveling dance company, and they travel and do performances with the Jesse White tumbling team, and they're doing one of those on Sunday in Morris.
60th anniversary of the Tumblers.
Oh, yeah. They're so awesome. They are.
How old is Jesse White?
He's 85.
85.
Wow.
He still looks better than me.
And
right?
He'll still have the kids jump over his head.
I'm always fascinated that he speaks every single language spoken in Chicago.
Well,
at least five words.
Yes, right. He knows, and I'm not sure that those five words always match up.
No.
His Urdu is a little light.
No, but he's got something mm-hmm. in that department.
But he tries, yeah.
Well, we've been talking about that half marathon on the air quite frequently. There's no more spots for registration, but just so everybody does know, it is closing down Lakeshore Drive on Sunday morning until about noon between 31st Street and Marquette. So that's on the south side, just south of where the Stevenson hits.
Mm-hmm. But don't a lot of people who run the real marathon go do the half marathon to try to prepare? Isn't that they're just about to do the real one?
This week is the cutback week, because last week most people did their longest run to prepare for the marathon, which was 20 miles.
That's in 2 weeks, the marathon, right?
Three.
It's coming up.
Yeah, it's October 13th. And so, like a lot of people on their calendar tomorrow will be 12 miles, so doing 13.1 is not going to be
detrimental. That's 2 weeks from this weekend.
It is 2 weeks from this weekend?
Yes.
Wow.
How are we there already?
Yeah.
So, oh, my gosh.
So, if the marathon is 2 weeks away, what are the marathon runners running right now?
Like 12 miles tomorrow, maybe six on next Saturday, and then cutting it back.
So they could run the half marathon mm-hmm. this weekend. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Totally.
What's going on?
It's time.
I don't understand any of that world either. I don't want a goat standing on my temple. I don't want by the way, happy Rosh Hashanah and all that. You know, that's coming up too. That just reminded me of that.
on your temple.
Right. But I'm afraid my feet are going to fall off if I run.
I don't think they will. Mm-hmm. They might hurt a lot, but I don't think they're going to fall off.
Okay.
Bodies don't work like that.
Mm-hmm. That's what you say.
Yeah.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, in Evanston, bike the Ridge Ride on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. So Ridge Avenue will be closed to all the vehicular traffic between Howard and Church Streets. It's about 2.5 miles in between that. And so going on for, 4 hours there, you can just ride up and down and up and down. It's a family-friendly event. For more information on how to get involved, cityofevanston.org. It's not anything that's going to be too fast or make your feet fall off, so that's good to know. And then steampunk. There is the first ever Chicago Steampunk Expo happening at the Westin O'Hare. Are you guys familiar with that genre?
The steampunk genre?
Yeah. No. Okay. So it's like Jules Verne, H.G. Wells inspired. But it was something that wasn't even created until like the 1980s.
What exactly is it? Is it punk music?
So think of...
Instead of Jules Verne motif? Well, I don't understand.
Think of either, the Smashing Pumpkins music video, Tonight.
Okay.
Got that. Where they're flying in the boat through the moon, and they're all kind of dressed in, you know, that...
Jules Verne kind of thing.
Yeah, World's Fair Columbian Exposition type outfit. That's kind of the costuming.
Turn of the century kind of
thing. Yeah, or also even Back to the Future, the third one. Like, there was a lot of technology with, like, the trains of the time machine and whatnot.
And do people dress like that?
Oh, yeah.
And so they go to like a festival. It's like furries, except it's for turn of the century.
Okay, yes. I wouldn't necessarily think that it's like furries only turn of the century. I'm going to go more with like, you know, dressing up like the Avengers at a Comic-Con.
Okay, but to me that's just furries dressing up like Avengers. Because the whole thing is to not be you, and then God knows what happens.
Yeah, so that the first one of that is happening this weekend. It's actually started today, goes through the 29th, which is Sunday. A delightful weekend of Victorian mirth and magic.
Oh.
I didn't know any of the people, the supposedly famous people that they had listed.
The famous steampunkers?
Yeah, or I think there was like a WWE wrestler, but it wasn't somebody I was aware of, and I'm kind of well-versed
in that. Isn't this the time of year where we're supposed to be going picking to pumpkin patches and apple picking and all that kind of stuff?
Totally can.
And corn mazes.
Yeah. And because of that, Lincoln Park Zoo, their fall festival starts today, and it goes through October 27th. So they do have, if you're in the city, a corn maze, a corn pool, Ferris wheel, and a pumpkin patch. Those cost a little bit extra, but it's always free to get into the zoo and go see the animals. But you do have to buy tickets to do all that extra stuff. And then there's obviously plenty of pumpkin patches, and some of them allow you to bring dogs.
But you're not allowed to bring your dog into the zoo.
No, not the zoo.
No, because it drives all the other animals nuts.
Yeah.
They either want to eat your dog or are afraid they're going to be eaten by your dog.
You know,
a macaque does not like a dog.
Animals at the zoo are, like, so well taken care of, and we really don't know if everybody vaccinates their dogs, you know, so we don't want to bring, like, infectious diseases into the zoo.
Yeah, that's true. And now the lions and tigers are out for the moment.
Yeah.
As they're redoing the cat house there. So
that's going to be cool when it's done.
Yeah, be prepared for that so that, you know that. But I'm telling you, the best thing to do at the zoo right now, especially this time of year, is that macaque exhibit. Because it's like an outdoor, you walk into the middle of their world and they're kind of all around you. And it's amazing.
What is a macaque?
They're like
monkeys, right?
They're a monkey, but what they do is in order, like as a family unit, to go to sleep, they become a ball
between
the mom, the dad, the kids, the whole thing. And they are so human.
They're very
in their
expressive,
behavior.
Aren't they?
Yeah.
I love them.
It's wild, and they come right up to you. I don't know that they're coming. I don't know that they see you because it's behind glass, but they all hang out like inches from you, and they're doing things, you know, in macaque that are very interesting.
Huh?
Yeah, it's right there, just in the right near the main entrance.
You know,
just to the north of the main entrance.
I know this is a little off the topic, but I held a sloth today at the Wildlife Discovery Center in Lake Forest. And it's someplace that I had no idea about until I went there this morning. And it's so close, and they have these adorable animals, some of them that could probably claw your eyes out if you, you know.
Have you considered a sloth to be anybody who doesn't run 100 miles a week? Or what do you consider a sloth? It's just like a real sloth animal that you're talking about.
I held a roe this morning.
Yeah, that's about right. Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, a furry one, an actual animal, 4-year-old. Her name's Hazel. She, you know, with those big long legs, she just wraps them around you and gives the best hugs. I don't think a human's ever hugged me as well as a sloth did today. Yeah, but that's another place up in Lake Forest. It's right by Hallis Hall. And it's a cool place to take the family with some nature trails and animals that...
Just letting you know that these sloth would eat you if it could. All right, thank you. That's the end of your agenda.
Yeah, I'm like cut off. All right.
That's it. We got the news coming your way with Kim Gordon. Spooktacular, this copy reads. Join Goodbye Girl Judy Pilak at the Goodwill Store and Donation Center in Lake Zurich this Saturday, October 5th. That's a week from tomorrow. Noon to 2. Shop for your costumes and decorations, and there will be a chance to win Goodwill gift cards and tickets to a Chicago Bears game, courtesy of Goodwill. And you might even win the Halloween-themed centerpiece Judy has created from her finds. And we've had those. We've had those around here over the years.
Sure. She's decorated for the holidays on a number of occasions.
Goodwill stores in Lake Zurich, located at 746 South Rand Road. Come on out Saturday, October 5th, noon to 2 p.m. Details at WGNRadio.com/events. Kim Gordon's got the WGN Radio News right now.
Show with Anna DeBlancis on WGN Everywhere. All right, let's talk about the Chicago Bears on Sunday. Adam Hoge, our Bears insider, is winging his way to get ready for the Northwestern game tomorrow, Northwestern and Wisconsin at the Camp Randall tomorrow, right? Isn't that where it's going to be?
That's correct.
Yep. What happened to my Adam Hoge? Oh,
wait,
there,
that sounded...
I got him. Yes, I know. Carm was doing... Actually, that's Adam doing a Mark Carmen impression. Excellent job. All right.
What's happening?
I guess before we get to the Bears, may I ask you about Northwestern for a second?
Sure.
Yeah. What's going on there?
Well, it's September.
Uh-huh.
I mean, like, this has been the theme for really the, I've been doing this for 5 years now with Northwestern, Dave and Ted on our great broadcast, but, you know, they struggle in September, and, this year has been no different. I wish I could figure out why offensively they weren't doing more, because right now Hunter Johnson, the quarterback, to me looks pretty good. This transfer from Clemson, I know his numbers aren't great, but physically the things he's doing on the field look good to me. So it's been a tough road here, and unfortunately doesn't get any easier tomorrow.
No.
This Wisconsin team is just clicking on all cylinders on both sides of the football.
Wisconsin, the offensive and defensive lines of Wisconsin are some of the best I've seen in college football this year. And I watch a lot of this. They are really, really, really good. So that's I think in the West, I mean, it's going to be very hard to get out of their way. All of a sudden, they're back. And I don't think there was a lot of preseason anticipation that they were going to be. So yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge for Northwestern Coach Fitz. But you know what? You know they're very smart at Northwestern. They can figure a way around this. I'm not quite sure what it is, but they'll figure it out. And that's the most important thing. Oh, let's talk about the Bears. Okay, I have my own concerns here. Let's start with Pinero, because again, like it was last Friday, he's questionable for Sunday. Now, we know what happened last week, and he was questionable going into the game, and he kicked. And, you know, with the exception of the one miss, but still had enough leg to miss it. He just missed it wide right. He looked pretty good. Are we concerned about this? Because, you know, it is Soldier Field. The weather's going to be a little wacky leading up to the game. We're told it's going to be okay during the game, but, you know, that certainly can change field conditions. What do we know?
Yeah, so I'm not too concerned, and I know I kind of, before the game the other day when I was standing down there on the field, that was before I actually saw him come out and start kicking, which the weirdest thing was that his kicks all were going through the upright. And didn't seem to be a problem, but in between kicks, when he was walking around, he looked like an 85-year-old man in a lot of pain. So it was one of the weirdest warm-up sessions I've ever seen. But sure enough, the kicks, even in the game, other than the one exception, they kept going in. Now, from what I understand, there's no further damage he can do to this. It's a pinched nerve in his knee, and it should be getting better. You know, I don't know how quickly it's getting better, but it should be better than it was on Monday night. So from that standpoint, I think it's going to be the same thing. Get him out there, get him some painkillers, have him battle through it, and I think he showed on Monday night he can do it. Now, the area of concern I do have is, I don't know if you guys noticed, but when Pat O'Donnell, the punter, was handling kickoffs on Monday, he had 3 touchbacks and 3 non-touchbacks, and the 3 non-touchbacks got returned a pretty far away for the Washington Redskins in that game, and the Vikings have pretty good returners. So if he can't boot the ball through the back of the end zone like Pinero was doing with regularity, then the Bears are going to be a lot better from a coverage standpoint on kickoffs.
Oh, interesting point. Very interesting point. I watched him. I guess he's also the backup field goal kicker, right?
Yes, I mean. Now, again, the fact they haven't signed anybody, if they were worried that Pinero couldn't kick, they would go actually sign a real kicker. But in emergency situations, yes, Pat O'Donnell would handle kicks.
Okay. Akeem Hicks, not going to play, right?
Well, sounds like a true game-time decision. You know, look, he's been dealing with a knee issue. I didn't really know what it was specifically, but I knew he was dealing with something. And now we find out it's the knee, and it got bad enough on Monday that he had to come out of the game. So it's obviously getting worse. The question is, you give them some time to rest up. I'm going to go off of what they did with Khalil Mack last year. And if you remember this, Khalil Mack was dealing with that ankle. They played him against the Patriots. And he was like, okay, sort of effective, not really the same guy.
No.
They end up holding him out the week after that, the next 2 weeks after that, and they got him right, and then he was fine the rest of the year. The Bears play the Raiders next week. As we know, the Raiders are not very good. And after that, they have a bye week. So it wouldn't surprise me if they try to get Hicks out there in this game, because this is a heavy run attack that the Vikings put out there. They need a Keenan Hicks in this game. Play him, see what he can give you, and then you hold him out next week against the Raiders. You give him a bye week, and all of a sudden he's probably a lot better in a few weeks. That's kind of what I'm thinking here. But you know what? If he can't go, he can't go. And I think we're going to have to get a final word on Sunday.
And then Taylor Gabriel is the other one that's concerning, because he's definitely out, right, yeah. Adam?
Yeah, he's definitely out, so the Bears are going to have to adjust. You know, the thing about their wide receivers are, other than Allen Robinson, like the rest of them are, they're good, but they're not great, and they're all sort of interchangeable and versatile. So, you know, I think you're going to have to see a lot more Anthony Miller, who's had a quiet start to the season so far. You'll see more of Javon Wims, who's a different type of wide receiver. He's bigger than Taylor Gabriel. But, you know, they could throw Tariq Cohen in there in the slot. They could do a lot of different things. So it's not great that they're not going to have the guy who caught 3 touchdown passes on Monday night, but they can adjust. I'm not too concerned about that hurting the offense on Sunday.
All right. I loved your tweet, by the way, about Khalil Mack facing the Minnesota and the physicality of this battle here in Chicago at Soldier Field coming up. He's like, pop ya Advils and get ready. It's going down. I just even love the way Khalil Mack speaks coming up, working up into these games. He is so like in it and just like so he's infectious with the way he talks about things.
You know, he tends to be pretty quiet with his words a lot of times, and he puts it all out there on the field. That's how he usually does his speaking, and he does it loud and clear on the football field. But yeah, when he delivered that quote today, I love that. Pop your Advils. It's going down. And this is one of those old school NFC North type football games where, you know, the Vikings are coming in here with an offense that everybody knows in football. I mean, they are going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball. Then they're going to run the ball some more, and then they're going to pop some play action in there with Kirk Cousins and try to hit a deep shot deep to one of their two good wide receivers in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. So this is the type of football we've seen in the NFC North for a really, really long time. And for the Bears, it's all about stopping the run. If you can stop the run, you put Kirk Cousins in situations that he's not really good at. When he needs to make the big throw late in the game, he usually throws it to the other team. That's going to be the goal here for the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, okay. You might get mad at me when I say this, so I'm just going to say it.
Sure.
All my friends are getting mad at me for thinking this, but I consider this to be a must-win game for the Bears.
I agree.
Fellow sufferer. I like it.
Why? We're looking for some more signs of improvement with the offense? Or?
No, because the NFC North is so competitive. You've got to win in your division. You've got to do it. And there's just no way. You're not going to win the division unless you're basically, whoever wins this division, let's put it this way, is going to have the best record in the division against division opponents because they are so tough. And we've already got one loss in the division.
Yeah.
The Packers, now.
They didn't look so good last night.
Thank God. Thank God they lost last night. They don't look so good. And if the Bears get passed, look, I mean, you want the Bears to be 3-1 going out of this, 4-1 going into their break. That's what you want. And it is possible. If 4-1 into their break, they're going to be okay. They go into their break, you know, 3-2 or, God forbid, 2-3.
I mean, let's not forget, they were 3-3 last year after losing to the Patriots. And so, you know, and then they turned it on. I think they won 9 straight from there. But to your point, you do need to win games in your division. And even more so, you have to win your home games in your division. And they've already lost a home game in their division this season.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you lose to Green Bay at home, that means that you better beat them on the road. And that's not as easy to do. The same thing here. If you lose this game to the Vikings, well, there's a greater chance than in that Week 17 game. The Bears end the season in Minnesota, which they did last year, and I think they've done that the last 4 years now. But that game could mean a lot. And to make it mean less, well, you can help yourself by winning on Sunday. just the idea of going 0-2 in your division with both of those losses being at home this early in the season, that's hard to swallow, and you're digging yourself a hole, and you're making your schedule, which is already harder, even harder because it's putting more emphasis on the games later in the year in December when you're going on the road to face those two teams, the Packers and the Vikings.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct. That's can I get consensus from Carm? Do I get consensus on that?
I agree in principle, but I also get back to the math and what Adam's saying. Or 3-3. If they lose, okay, then they're 2-2. That means there's, 12 games left. They could go 12 and all, they'll finish the year 14-2. I think they'll be okay. Yeah, I can't get there in week 4, team. But
Carm, the schedule's a lot harder than it was last year. So, I do bring that up. It's like, hey, let's not forget they were 3-3 after 6 games a year ago. But, then they face the Jets and the Bills right after that.
You guys,
the next 2 weeks.
Okay, but that just raises anxiety for Sunday. Like, I can't go there right now. You got to have it or it's over. You start doing that, then OB's going to have a total meltdown. We don't really need to.
Okay.
Well, it's
going to
happen anyway.
Now, I got to mention that because now you're going to be hosting the as Carmen does, which is battle pay. I mean, this is a guy who literally
does he wear pants
is,
for that?
Is sent in. You're like you're like a wartime correspondent when you're actually working in the studio with Hamp and OB and Kaz. Thank God he's mostly on the phone because he likes to whip it up with these guys too. But don't you feel as though this is going to be tough duty on Sunday? You guys doing the show before or after the game?
We're doing it after 6:30 to 9:00. And yes, last week was I got the stern eye-to-eye contact of you are not listening to me. So that was a little terrifying, Ro and Anna and everybody. So
so they turned it on you a little bit?
Well, yes, at times if need be. And so I just know that if they do lose to the Vikings, that some people might be jumping off the ledge, and I'm going to have to maintain some level of, look, it's week 4, they got Oakland next week, then they got the bye, then they're going to play the Saints, Drew Brees is hurt. I can't go to the season's over if they lose to Minnesota. I know you guys aren't saying that either.
We know we're not saying the season's over, but this is a big deal.
It's a huge game. Huge game. No question. Home game, division, Vikings, yeah. And all of it's, and go playing up there has been very hard. Although they did get them last year. That was impressive. One of their best games.
Yep. Yeah.
Campo, B, and Kaz seem deeply concerned about the offense, more so than all of us combined, I think, when you listen to them. They're very concerned about it.
They don't like the quarterback. I think that is
I did not get that sense.
Really?
No. It's a huge week for him, right? I mean,
yes.
He took a step forward against the Redskins. Now you're playing a defense that's probably, 3 times better. You are at home, but if he plays well here, then I think that'll start to settle down just a little bit.
And are we worried about the Lions? Because let's assume Green Bay sucketh as much as they did last night, and let's just assume that maybe this is the end of Aaron Rodgers and everything that we know and that we hold holy and true.
Oh, but, come on.
But the Lions, all of a sudden, Matthew Stafford is, he's getting all Matthew Stafford.
Rob, to tell you how worried I am about the Lions, last night when the Packer game ended, I tweeted that the winner of the Bears-Vikings game will pull into a tie with the Packers atop the NFC North, completely forgetting that the Detroit Lions don't have a loss yet, and theoretically if they beat the Chiefs on Sunday and Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City, which, come on, let's be honest, it's probably not going to happen, but if they did, they would actually be in first place. So I basically forgot the Lions were even in the division. That's how worried I am about them.
All right.
I'm not buying it yet.
They look pretty good. This is, Sports Illustrated was right. I was wrong. This is a really, really tough division. So we'll see.
It is.
It's not exactly the AFC West, but it's pretty damn close.
I mean, the Lions went to Philly, beat the Eagles, and the Eagles just went to Green Bay and beat the Packers, for whatever that's worth. There's something impressive in there for Detroit.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, Stafford seems like he's got enough time to do what he's got to do. He's a really talented quarterback. He's one of those guys that, had he played on any other team other than the Lions for the last decade, he would be, you know, in the elites, I think. He'd be in that Drew Brees conversation. But he hasn't. So that didn't happen for him. And he's also one of those guys who's got that deal where when he's wearing his helmet, he's like real good looking, and then he takes his helmet off, and you're like, oh, he's kind of a geek. I don't know. It just does. There are people who look better with a hat on. You know, Ryan Sandberg was one of those guys, right? Through his career, he was like, oh, my God, the man looks like he should be on a statue. And they take his hat off. You go, oh, all right, okay. I love him, but I'm just saying. That's what it was. Now he's got the hairline.
That's so true with Ryan. The guy was, he was the sexiest man in America in uniform. And then out of uniform, it just didn't happen.
He's like your next door neighbor out of uniform. He's a good looking guy, but he just is. And all of a sudden, you're like, hey, Ryan, you know, you're going by. Hey, by the way, could you is garbage pickup tonight or tomorrow? I can't remember. It's like that moment. So all right. I don't want to get in Adam's way here on his way to Madison. Have fun tomorrow up at Camp Randall. That is an amazing place to see a football game, no matter what. Yeah. That'll be a lot of fun. Is that 11 o'clock kick or 2:30?
11 o'clock, 10:30 pregame, and looking for. I always enjoy going to Madison, so yeah. No matter the result, it should be an entertaining game, and we'll have fun doing it.
Okay. There we go. That's everything we need to know. All right. Thanks, everybody. In other words, pound. Pound Wisconsin tomorrow is what I just heard. All right, thanks very much.
Thanks, Adam.
All right, let's do this. Let's check in and find out what's coming up at the top of the hour with Kim Gordon.
Roe, heavy rains moving through the area causing problems at the airports and on the roads. We'll bring you the latest on cancellations and delays coming up.
All right, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, WGN everywhere, which means we're here. That's the most
right
important.
Here.
Wherever you've just found us, we're here.
Thank you for finding us.
Tell all your friends how to find us. If you have found us, tell your relatives, your friends that digital is the future.
Especially people who say, hey, the White Sox baseball are on. They're not on. I can't find them. WGN
right.
Radio.
You're not going to have to worry about that until the spring, but still, now is the time. Because there will be moments next year where we want everybody to come around. It's amazing. Also, especially when we have live music and stuff like that, it really sounds spectacularly
great.
It does. So, all right, we got a top 5 of 5 coming your way. We also have got Ryan Dempster is going to join us in the 5 o'clock yes. hour. Our friend, he's going to be discussing with us the ignominious end of the Cubs season, looking forward to the White Sox season of next year. But more so than that, he has thoughts on other things. For example, Canadian thoughts on other things.
Hockey?
He does think hockey a lot.
Okay.
He thinks a lot about hockey. I think he thinks a lot about...
Moose?
Yep. Fishing. I think he thinks also a lot about peace and tranquility. Maple syrup, a lot of thoughts on that.
Love maple syrup.
Canadian bacon. He's got just there they call it bacon. So
ask him about all things Canadian.
Yeah, he's got a lot of, you know, and people are surprised. Baseball players are not supposed to be Canadian.
No, it's sort of weird. Hockey, sure. Right?
Yeah.
All the time.
Right.
Even
if they're not Canadian, they sound like they're Canadian.
They speak Canadian.
Right. So we'll talk to him about all of those kinds of things. And he's always got something funny to say. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, Mark McKinnon from the circus, you'll hear a conversation with him and a conversation with Bob Iger, who is the chairman of the Walt Disney Company.
Wow.
All of that is coming your way right here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Richard Roper will be here. We can review some of his reviews. We can go over some of the things that he said, including his thoughts on Judy, the movie that was anticipated to be like one of the, you know, like an Oscar buzz movie, big movie for people to go out and see.
Right. Big role for Renee Zellweger.
Right.
You know, singing the songs herself and performing as Judy Garland. Really, we'll see what Richard says about it.
Right. And we heard what he said about it yesterday.
Yesterday.
Yeah, he was not, and he's been printed in the reviews in the Chicago Sun-Times.
So it's out there. So it's safe to say.
He doesn't love it, and he'll explain why he doesn't love it. He's got good reasons for not loving it. Although that's going to break a lot of people's hearts. Because I'm telling you, I cannot imagine. Do you see that they're not going to allow people to dress? This is coming up in the top 5. They're not going to allow people to dress as the Joker at the Joker, you know, the no masks, no makeup and stuff like that for safety purposes, right?
Painful memories there.
You wonder how many people will be dressed as Judy Garland. How many dudes are going to be dressed as Judy Garland going to the Judy Garland?
That's what I want to know. It's almost a given.
I just want to know. It could be a lot. Now, are they going to keep those people from going? I mean, if you show up at the Judy Garland movie in, maybe in some Wizard of Oz drag, are you not allowed in? Or is that okay?
I think that's okay, somehow. I think that's going to be okay.
All right, you're going to
expect it even.
You're going to have to check your cane, though, at the door. Or your staff, or whatever that thing she was dancing with.
Right.
Yeah, rubber red slippers. You have to put tennis shoes on. I'm sorry. We can't have those in the theater. All right, so I have a lot of thoughts, and none of them are good nor pure. This is WGN Radio Everywhere, streaming live from Chicago. Kim Gordon has the news. It's 5 o'clock. Has just stepped into the studio.
Hello.
Chrissy Brinkley wants everyone to know she did not fake the broken wrist so that her daughter could be on Dancing with the Stars, and she's got a picture of her x-ray to prove it. For
that's
you
everybody
people.
Does now, right? You have to. Anthony Rizzo showed us his giant balloon ankle. Everybody has to show their injuries now, right? On Instagram.
Like too much. And, I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
I like, sailor.
I'd like to show you a bunch of different things I've got. Like,
don't
start my medical test up. Oh, wait, my cholesterol seems a little high.
No.
I've had to send Ro a few pictures over the years for real, where I'm like,
really?
Okay. Well, yeah, because he knows the guy or the woman.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Anna. So it'd be like a Sunday night, and I'm like, you know, oddly enough, you go to some of these hospitals. Sorry, we're closed. We'll be open on Monday.
Rokan sent me.
So then I'll send him a picture, and then my cell will ring, and all of a sudden you'll get a guy, you know, like stepping out from a dinner party.
Uh-huh.
Hey, Richard, Dr. Specialist 1 calling. I understand. Well, I can tell by looking at the pictures. You need to meet me at my office in 45 minutes.
That's an absolutely true story.
Yeah, bring a friend because you're either going to be staying overnight or yes. And the kicker to that story was, and Anna will, well, Ro knows these fine folks. They're all gone now, but at the time I was working for the fine folks at Good Day Chicago. And the guy who was running the station at the time was no longer there.
Right.
My sister called and said, Richard has to undergo emergency surgery. This was Sunday night, so obviously he's not going to be in tomorrow. And you could almost guess what he said.
I could guess.
When do you think he'll be back? Not, oh my God, send him our love and prayers.
There was a plane that had skidded off the runway in Newark, and I was coming back from that area on the plane that was supposed to leave an hour later, and everything was shut down. I took a picture of it, sent it to him, and said, hey, I'm going to be delayed. He goes, well, can't you rent a car?
Get you rent a car.
Are you able to get back
in the
morning by 3 a.m.?
All right, I will share.
Same thing.
I'll share a little story with you.
Okay, I'll try.
I was at a longtime manager, and I was taking the train into work, and on the subway, and the train stops between the division. It was the Red Line stops between Division and Chicago, and the train car fills with smoke. Everybody rushes off the train, runs away. There's people running on the tracks. There's people running down the, you know, there's like an escape little road that you take there that you can hold on to a rail there.
Yeah.
Hopefully not the third rail, but it is a rail.
Very much like Harry Potter, the three and a half.
There's basically a little like runaway area that you can get on. And so we're running down. We come up those emergency grates, right? And this is back in the day where the payphone was the way that we got a hold of people. I ran to a payphone, and I'm explaining, and I had soot all over me apparently the side of the wall that you're running against is like filled
from the 19th century, like the first train in 1917 or whatever.
It was like Chernobyl. I came out of there with graphite all over me. I get to the phone and I call and I said, hey, there's a train fire. I got it. And the guy goes, just get into work. You are late. I go, wait. There's a train fire. I don't care what there is.
Very understanding.
I'm like, but I think we should mention the train fire.
get here to work. So I literally ran down State Street, get to work.
Full of soot.
Full of soot, right? Uh-huh. And then the guy get in there, and it's like, you know, it's the top story of the morning, right? Everybody's going live from the train, and these people being disgorged from the train and all this stuff, you know, coming up literally out of the grates in the street is how people were coming out. And I've gotten my whole, and I was wearing the Wisconsin tuxedo back then, the jeans with the jean jacket, and I had, the, you know, the whole side of me was covered in the soot. And he's like, I don't care! You gotta be here! And luckily, his boss came down, saw it on the news, and it was like, I think he's faking it. I think he put that stuff on his face. Like, shut up.
Please.
I know.
Just be human. That's all we ask.
Right. That's all we ask. Be a human being.
Well, that's what happened with my case. And the other boss, like, was incredibly nice and called my family and sent flowers. And then you feel so guilty, you come back earlier than you would have for the person that yelled.
So true.
Like, oh, my God, he's so nice. And they apparently the station won't even be on the air unless I show up and do my wacky commentary. I have to be there.
We'll get to the top five in just a second. Sure. But I must say that if one of the nice things about the longtime employees of the Rokon show with Anna DeBlantis, or the Rokon show through any of its different iterations, and we have a number of people who've been with us, you know, for a really, really long time. It's because I offer medical and legal support for everybody who is on the show.
Around the clock.
Some take far more advantage of it than others.
Yes.
I'm taking advantage of it.
And some wild transportation options as well.
That's true. That's been fun.
We once got Richard a helicopter to leave downtown to go to a movie screening in the western suburbs at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
It happened. Brad Pitt was involved. We had to get there.
Yeah. There you go.
So that's how it went. All right.
Ta-da.
Yeah, there we go. You know what it's time for?
We do.
Yes, we do.
Look at the clock.
The top five on the Rokon Show. Let's go. 3, 2, 1. Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokon Show with Anna Taplanter. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes. Get on with it.
Checking in at
number 5.
Chicago Teachers Union members have voted by a huge margin to authorize a strike, setting the stage for about 25,000 of the teachers to walk off the job as early as October 7th. Jesse Sharkey, he's the union president, says the outcome shows that things have to change.
This is a clear signal from the members of the Chicago Teachers Union at 520 public schools across the city that we need the mayor and the Board of Education to address critical needs in our schools. We need staffing in areas like nursing, for social workers, and for special education services. We have a mayor that ran for office on the promise that she would make basic educational supports, education equity, and support neighborhood schools, and now we expect to see those promises in writing.
Okay, and here's the mayor.
We know that kids who stay in school are much less likely to be victims of crime and much less likely to be perpetrators of crime. So putting 360,000 kids on the street when the deal is right here at our fingertips, how does that make sense?
Said it would be disastrous. And as we talked earlier, the Chicago Park District is also threatening a strike, which is where a lot of the kids go when there is a strike to be safe during the day. I guess the delegates meet next Wednesday to set a possible strike date. Yeah. They don't have a deal that they're happy with.
Well, that's how these things, they do tend to come down to the very end.
They do.
Yes.
They do. So
I have faith this teacher's impasse will be resolved. I have faith in Mayor Lightfoot.
I kind of do too in this because I, you know, she's a slight bit of a badass, right?
Yeah, she's got her own litigation experience too. She'll step right in there and say, "Listen, yeah, right."
Mm-hmm. Well, and she's also not taking the same. I think she's a very respectful approach to the jobs that they do.
Yes.
And I think that is well received by not just the teachers, but I think everybody else who wants to hear that kind of respect for what they do.
Are you saying that a predecessor might have been a little dismissive when talking about the working class, whatever they do,
using
before going into his little puppy hole in City Hall and avoiding the press,
using the F word,
his bicycle,
the F word to talk to the head of the CTU was not exactly getting off to the right foot on the right foot in the negotiations.
Okay. Oh my God,
his puppy hole! Remember that little flap he'd go through that little door in City Hall?
I do actually now.
You wouldn't even know it was there because it blended right in with
the
paneling.
We talked about that earlier. But every good politician in the history of Illinois, Chicago, and Cook County has that escape route.
Actual escape hatches.
They really do.
Yeah. You just go, you're like, you stand against the wall, and then the wall opens it.
Yeah.
And you're
like, wait, look, he gets the bookcase like he's in an Agatha Christie novel.
Yeah.
I have chased Mike Madigan through the halls of Springfield, and he disappeared. And I'm like, where did he go? I mean, he was gone. There was this magical door that no one else could get access to. And he was gone. Poof.
Checking in at
number four.
All right, now Warner Brothers got a little bit of an issue here. I'd like Richard to explain this. The red carpet premiere of The Joker is happening tomorrow in Hollywood at the Chinese Theater. Used to be Grauman, now it's a TCL Chinese Theater. I don't know. Why don't they just change it?
It's right next to where they do the Oscars there, and they close down the street. Every time you see a Hollywood premiere, it's almost always there in the same area.
So they are not going to allow reporters on the red carpet. They're only going to allow photographers on, so no questions for the cast. As they're walking through there, it stars Joaquin Phoenix, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, why are there no questions for the cast?
Hold on one second.
Okay.
They are restricting access to interviews because there's a lot of things happening around this film. There's now this story that, you know, movie theaters are not going to allow you to dress, you're not wear a mask or makeup to these movies. They're going to be on the lookout because when the previous Joker movie came out, right? What was it? 8 years ago?
It was Aurora, Colorado shootings.
Right. The last time. And so.
I remember the guy actually kind of, that idiot kind of looked like the Joker. He dyed his hair red and for his courtroom appearance.
Right. And there's a lot of criticism about how violent this thing is. Although Rambo, they didn't have that problem. Ryan, Rambo basically vivisects somebody. So, you know, there's that. Here's a little bit of what the Joker sounds like.
Arthur. I have some bad news for you. This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
So the we've talked about this before too, the double-edged sword of these movies. I've not seen the movie; I'm seeing it in a couple of days. But it played at Toronto, and tons of press obviously were there in other places. And there have been some articles and some pieces criticizing it for glorifying violence. We've seen this in regards to movies ever since movies came out a century ago. And Todd Phillips, the director, probably didn't help the cause at all. I do understand where he's coming from. He's like, well, what about John Wick? John Wick killed 300 people in his last movie, and everybody was whooping it up in the theater. And it was Romance and Rambo. I think the difference here is that people are saying that this character is so dark and disturbing, and those are very violent, but they don't feel like they have a real connection to the reality of the world, and somehow this Joker. But as always, it's like, well, you can't blame the movie. If someone sees the movie and then says, I'm going to go out and do this, I mean, that goes back to people reading Catcher in the Rye or watching other, you know, Taxi Driver and be inspired by that. So I can kind of understand why Warner Brothers is like, well, if we're going to have Joaquin Phoenix and Todd Phillips and the rest of the cast and crew walk the red carpet, every single reporter is going to ask that question. I mean, they're going to all feel like, I'm going to get the scoop. And they're going to ask, do you think this movie incites violence? What do you have to say about the controversy?
But why can't they just prepare them for that kind of a question?
Because they don't want to turn it in. They want to turn it into a celebration of the movie. And not this let's make news for the wrong reasons and have people worried about going to it. And the other thing they could have done. First of all, there were tons of interviews already.
And it's private industry, so they can do whatever they want.
Yeah,
they
and they could easily. And you know, the truth is, those red carpet interviews, you either get that, or it's like, what was it like to work with Star B? It's about all you get.
It's so pretty quick.
I'm kind of surprised they didn't just say, well, you know, we're going to have Access Hollywood and a few other softball programs there, and we know they'll just ask the easy questions. But this is not, usually I'd be like, how dare you bar the press? They're not barring the press from seeing the movie in advance or anything like that.
I like the reviewers who then say, do you remember when I started your career? I like those people.
Jimmy Glick. Remember Martin Short's
addiction? Exactly. Who are you?
Without me, you'd have no career. So everybody should settle down.
All right.
And wait till I tell you what to think about the movie.
Okay.
Kidding.
We usually do.
Brandon Marshall says he's going to bury the hatchet with Jay Cutler.
Oh, where?
I told TMZ Sports that he's down to get a beer with the guy if Cuddy is buying. Only if Cuddy's buying.
Okay.
Yeah, life's too short, man. Like, at the end of the day, although, like, I didn't like how he approached some of the things with our team, and he didn't like how I approached some things, which is fair, but we did a lot together, some special stuff. Like,
not really.
I put our 1-2 combo against anybody. Yeah, we were deadly. Now, when it comes to winning games, that's different.
Yeah. At least that's what you got to love about Brendan Murphy.
There's an ounce of honesty, but there's always some sort of brutal, kind of unnecessary comment.
Can't they have it? They could do it on Very Cavallari, season 3.
That's what I was thinking. Right? Why don't
they
put
it in town?
You know, the KCAV's opening an Uncommon James store right here in Chicago.
I know.
Very exciting.
But is Brandon still living here?
No. But we can bring him in for this. You can come visit. None of them are living here, but they got to do it here. They're going to be right by Soldier Field. Play a little catch.
Montana to Rice, Cutler to Marshall. Yeah. Right, it's right there.
He's like, name some people. I was like, yeah.
I honestly, I like Trubisky to Gabriel better. It was fine. It was fine, but they didn't really do anything. They didn't do poop.
What did he attack? Brandon Marshall just attacked Cutler for something like in the last week or two, didn't he? He said he was a bad quarterback.
Now he says that they stopped meshing at the end of the 2014 season, and they never were able to talk it out.
Our relationship should be better. I haven't talked to him since week 2 of our last season.
Why is it like tense between you? Why is it being tense between you?
Well, I think in the locker room and when you're in the middle of the season, guys got egos, including myself. Right. I just think we're in the middle of the season, and we didn't have the skills to really talk through whatever was bothering he or I.
Yeah.
And it just went on that long.
Week 2, not the middle of the season. Week 2, they stopped talking. There's a lot of leadership in that locker room. If no one could, and that falls on everybody, coach and everybody too. You don't get those. Yeah. Week 2, they stop talking.
Yeah.
Tell Brandon I'm going to throw him the ball, Kyle Long. Brandon.
What did he say?
God. Right in the huddle.
Right?
I'm not listening.
No. Yeah.
I'm not. Well, I said that. You know, half the time the wide receiver never comes to the huddle. Because they're such independent operators on the football field. They're like, I'm gonna be me, bro. You do you. And if you want to throw the ball to me, I'll catch it and I'll make a touchdown. That would be a smart move for you, bro.
Well, Carmen knows this. There's certain wide receivers. You can tell they're not going to get the ball because they'll line up and start checking like their watches for Fitbit steps or looking into the crowd. I mean, like, that guy's not getting the ball this play.
Straight to Insta.
Yeah. I'm a decoy.
Call that
chin strap
out.
Unbuckled.
I'm not even really going to run. I'm going to step one step off the line, and that's it. Because I'm a little tired. That was the John Fox Bears, if you've ever seen them.
Oh, yeah.
All right, checking in at
number 2.
Over the years, there have been many celebrities who had the honor to speak before the United Nations for different causes, like Emma Watson.
The reality is that if we do nothing, it will take 75 years, or for me, to be nearly 100, before women can expect to be paid the same as men for the same work.
Yeah. How about the boy band BTS?
Ooh. No matter who you are, where you're from, your skin color, your gender identity, just speak yourself.
That's a BTS guy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're thinking of BTO, Bachman-Turner Overdrive.
No, I said BTS, that's K-pop, right, BTS?
A little bit of a British accent.
That's a British accent, it's great. How about when Leo went before the United Nations?
This is not a partisan debate, it is a human one. Clean air and a livable climate are inalienable human rights.
Okay.
There you go. You're so stupid, Rose! That's what he said right after that. You're so stupid, as he was chattering his teeth
in the
water.
There's extra room right there. Why don't you move over?
It's the biggest door on the ship, Rose!
Why can't I grab on? Unanswered question.
And now, Aquaman!
Oh,
Jason Momoa!
Cool.
Has addressed the United Nations.
Aloha. Your Excellencies. Distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, today I stand before you as a singular representative of all island nations.
Okay. Play that again? Because I think he makes an almost terrible mistake there. Hold on.
Aloha. Your Excellencies, distinguished delegates. Distinguished delegates.
Oh, jeez.
That was intentional.
Because he cracked himself up. Well, you know, he is the Gronk of the Justice League, you know? It's not just Jason Momoa. Also Aquaman. They should have had Awkwafina join Aquaman. Because they were talking about water.
It's also, you know, like the D.C. side of things, so.
Exactly. Yeah. Second tier.
Mm-hmm. And.
Aquaman knows about water.
Fine.
I'd listen to Aquaman talk about water.
Can I just tell you, there's some guys from Vanuatu or whatever the name of that island is. They're going, hey, I love this guy.
He's the best, man.
You know, people are all lined up to get his autograph anyway. Guys, you know, with soup bowls for hats are all standing there from the U.N.
Also, I'm married to Lisa Bonet.
Yes.
Fuck on that.
Yeah.
That's my life.
Also, great role in Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Number one. Come fly with me. Let's fly.
An Alaska Airlines passenger flying coach was arrested by federal authorities after he went nuclear because he was blocked from using the first class bathroom. He was going from JFK to LAX. That's a long flight.
Yeah.
When he got super frustrated over the long line for the coach bathroom, he ranted by making people wait here to use the bathroom while the whole bathroom up there is empty. It's wrong, he said. Mm. So the pilot then had to get on, you know, he had to get on, you know, the pilot talking stick.
Oh,
and
we know
say,
that one. Mm-hmm. For sure.
I don't care how much money you got. It ain't about money. We're trying to use the bathroom.
The pilot was still in classic pilot voice mode.
Never break. I don't never break from that.
But he reminded me a little bit of a Starbucks employee, though. That is a little bit of what was going on there, right? Sort of the, there's a black man in the aisle, and, you know, everybody's got to just calm down now.
But they don't let you use the first class bathroom. Like, Kevin, you guys ever run into that? You got to pay for that. You try to go up there, and they're like, no.
Yeah, they always make that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I don't know if it's a security thing, if flight attendants have to do
that. No, it's a class thing.
Class thing? 100%. It's like, you don't belong here.
No, they let people, if there's like an emergency, they let people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, but yeah, it's just the way it goes.
I complain, though, if I'm sitting in first class.
Oh, I talked to the attendant in the bathroom about that. I've said, listen.
The attendant?
Yes, with the mints and everything.
I was like, that man's not supposed to be up here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, apparently there's somebody from steerage. He's trying to use the first class bathroom. We're going to make an emergency landing now and have that man arrested.
Oh, gee. I mean, you guys are talking about airplane bathrooms. Everybody did see Lapka's bathroom tweet,
yes,
right?
Lord.
I did.
That's
not.
That's true.
How did I miss that?
That's true.
Oh, no.
On her flight, you know, she's in Europe, and she took a flight to Europe, and we had just talked about the Mile High Club.
Yeah.
And
she saw something that might have.
Yeah.
Well, she recorded the young couple.
Oh,
yeah. Not in action, but
obvious. Mm-hmm. So obvious. It was wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even though you couldn't make out their identity, you could tell that they were like sheepishly exiting the bathroom.
Right.
While Lauren is curled up, all 47 pounds of her under her blanket, shooting video of it.
She'd be a good PI, man.
Oh, she would.
She totally would.
She's hilarious.
Would.
All right. Let's lock this thing up, shall we?
The top five at five.
We got the news right now. Here is Kim Gordon. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on WGN Everywhere. Richard Roper is in the studio with us.
On this rainy Friday.
Yes. We may be joining WGN radio broadcast here in just a second because there's a rain delay. Ryan Dempster joins us on the Super Celebrity Hotline. Ever been through a rain delay, Sam?
Remember those?
Oh, man. I can't even, you know what? I don't even think I could compute or figure out how many of those because I did play for the Florida Marlins.
Oh,
and
boy.
Every day in August and September, I swear BP got rained out. And then games got rained out or pushed back. So, yeah, a few of them.
What's that like for the players? You just entertain each other and just hang out? Could it be fun?
Yeah, you better hope you're good at cards or you're going to lose some money. you know, there are a lot of card games. You know, some guys watch video. A lot of just kind of hanging out, trying not to eat too much food. And, it's all kinds of gamuts. You know, some guys are just like, me my headphones, and I'm going to, like, sit here and listen to music, and, you know, we got card games going, and just kind of lounging, and then just, but all the time, you got to stay ready, because any moment they could say, all right, tarp's off, 30 minutes, and we're going.
Brian, statute of limitations, don't mention any names, but has there ever been anybody during a long rain delay maybe hit the fridge for one of those post-game beers, and then had a second one, and then maybe a third one, and then wasn't good to go back on the field?
Of course, you don't need a rain delay for that. You just need to know you're not going to play, that's all.
Yeah, I guess, you know, they said, it was interesting, was Michael Kopech last year, right? Wasn't that, and he came up, and there was a rain delay, and his opener, there was a rain delay, and then he came back after, you know, 40 minutes or almost an hour of a rain delay, and they were, you know, concerned about whether that played into, obviously, if you're going to have Tommy John surgery, there's probably already some damage there that's just being exacerbated. But they wondered if that had anything to do with, you know, that, you know, those moments. Because for a pitcher, especially, that's like, that had to be very hard on you. I mean, what's the longest you ever had to go in a rain delay where you were playing and you started the game and then you had to come back?
Yeah, probably like close to an hour and a half. I remember a game in Florida, like having, like going two innings and then, waiting like an hour and a half. And you know what I did was every like 15 minutes or so, I would just get on the bike and ride the bike for a little bit, get my sweat up. And just so that I was kind of keeping that blood flow and that body temperature up, because the last thing you want to do is listen to the weatherman and be like, hey, we have an hour here, and kind of just check out. And then all of a sudden, you know, something breaks, and, you know, there's a window, and there's always a window. Sometimes it's the size of one of those little windows in an old VW bug, but there's always a window. and you, last thing you want to do is be unprepared for that. So you always got to kind of stay ready. But yeah, an hour and a half, I remember that game, you know, was actually able to go out and pitch well after that. But, you know, you got to be really careful, because you shut that down, and then, you know, bad things can happen.
And you're just hoping that the batters are drunk. I mean, that's really the most important.
Well, you always are.
Yeah,
exactly.
We call that 16 you know, in softball.
Yeah, you tell them, you send a note over, says probably not going to play today, boys. No. And just let them get as drunk as possible and then kick it back off.
Oh, no, you're starting. What do you mean I'm starting? Why?
Why? We're playing.
I was going to be a DH. I'm not going to be a DH.
Right?
I can't
we used
sweat.
To, we used to revere guys like that. Mickey Mantle. How'd you hit that homer, Mick? I swung for the one in the middle.
Yeah. Well, look, Doc Ellis was on LSD and threw a no-hitter, right? So it was a different time. It was different.
Yeah,
it was a different era.
He also did hit three guys on three pitches to start off the game, protecting his teammates. So
very different era.
It was okay then.
So I got to add, we're going to actually rejoin the radio show here, coming back from the rain delay at White Sox. So that's going to be, so I'll save the Sox stuff here, but let's talk about the Cubs for just a second. This is, you know, first, who would have ever imagined that we would be uttering these words? And I cannot believe how upset everybody in Chicago is that the Cubs have ended their 5-season streak of being in the postseason. Right? And so here we are. What does it tell you?
It tells me a couple things. One, that, you know, how hard it is to continue success over and over and over again. And, you know, because, you know, I was talking to somebody about it today. When you go out there and you're, you know, playing in October, or you're riding around in parades, or you're doing the postseason banquets and all those kind of things, there's other people that are getting up and working out and hitting and getting prepared. They're chasing the carrot while you're eating it. And it's really, really hard to maintain that because of that, because it's like being a heavyweight boxer. There's somebody that's always out there training really hard to try and beat you. And so to stay on top of that is extremely difficult. And then when you try to combine that with, you know, an up and down season and not playing up to your potential early on, where then now you're chasing it. You know, towards the end of the year, somebody said to me, man, are the Brewers ever going to lose? Are the Cardinals ever going to lose? I'm like, they did for 4 months. They lost.
Yeah.
You know, and then now you're forced to play against a team that gets as hot as the Brewers are right now, which has been, you know, scary. They might be the hottest team going into the playoffs. You know, if you told me tomorrow the Brewers are going to make the World Series, I'd believe it, because they're playing that well. So, you know, it's really tough. It's really hard. But at the same time, you gotta look at the excitement of trying, like Theo said, trying to put the next championship caliber team out on the field and look forward and not dwell on your past. And it's hard to do when you're in the moment, but yeah, definitely a changing of the guards, you'll say, where you'd look for one playoff chance every 5 years, let alone now all of a sudden 5 years in a row.
Yeah,
it's pretty incredible stuff.
Do you think that we're going to see major changes here?
don't know. I think there's, you know, there's always the possibility of that, right? Like when you lose and you have guys finishing out contracts and you have all those kind of things that, you know, sometimes change of direction happens. You know, it happens to even really good teams. You know, like the Yankees when they were sitting there going through their dominating years in the late 90s. You know, one year was Wade Boggs at third base, then it was Charlie Hayes, then it was Scott Brosius, then it was bringing in Roger Clemens. It was always kind of mixing it out. I think that's just the dynamics of the game in general. And then when you have failures on top of that, you know, sometimes guys you think might be there forever aren't there forever, and you go in a different direction.
What about at the top with Joe Maddon rumors? You've heard some players step up here at the end of the season and say, you know, just look at what he's done for this team, for the culture, for history, just what he's changed and the impact he's had on our team, and really speaking up for him, almost seeming as if, like, saying, hey, we need to keep this guy. Is that going to happen?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't, actually. I purposely kind of stay away from it because I don't want to know. And then just kind of be there with everybody else.
Yeah, you work for the team. If I were you, I would stay away from that right now. We're just going to sit down. Hold on one moment, because we have to join the radio broadcast here. Don't anybody move.
Oh, hey.
Yes, and this is going to be, and then you ask them the question again on the radio and watch everybody freak out.
Right, Apollo 13.
Well, land it, Ralph.
That is always the scariest piece. Stand by, everybody. Mm-hmm. Here we go. Thank you, Jill. Appreciate it. Back with the, if you have been listening to the World Wide Web, you know what we're doing here. If you were just joining us from the baseball game, here we go. We've got the great Ryan Dempster joining us at the moment. And we were actually regaling what it was like to be through a rain delay as a professional, as these guys are kind of going in and out. You've had this, they had a late start today, Demp, and now they've turned it back around and they've got it's tarps back on the field. We don't know if it's going to come back off the field. They got to get these games in, though, theoretically, before the end of the season, because they had a doubleheader today, and they've got tomorrow and Sunday. So they had four games to get in now in just 2 days. Back-to-back doubleheaders. Have you ever been in those where they're not consequential except for guys who are going to replace you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, I was talking to you guys earlier about playing for the Marlins. We played a doubleheader against the Expos in September. Now, if you think anybody cared less about baseball, the 100-loss Marlins playing the 90-loss Expos in September on a 4 o'clock start and a 7 o'clock start, there's 108 people in the stands for the 4 o'clock start.
Wow. Ouch.
I literally heard a fan yell, "Throw the changeup," and I was like, you know what? Sounds like a good idea.
Fantastic.
It can be pretty, but like you said, you have to play them. So if you're there, hey, man, here's your chance to impress somebody, right? Your season's over with, but you're playing for something. You're playing to impress somebody, your own team, your own GM, your own manager, a scout in the stand, something. Always look at it as an opportunity to impress somebody.
Yeah, because of those 108 people in the stands, there's probably 40 of them being paid to be there. Right?
So you got exactly.
Scouting, yeah.
So you got to figure it's either press or scout or somebody, you know, that's going to have to, that could be good. You never know. All right. So we talked a little bit just a few minutes ago before the radio station rejoined us, but we were talking about the Cubs. It's unclear what's going to happen here in the offseason with them. But obviously, you know, it has been a great run. Theo Epstein's going to have to roll all that stuff back together and see what, you know, sort of maybe, you know, put all the dice in the cup and roll them back out, see what happens. But on the south side of town, they seem to be in the middle of a plan here for the White Sox. You got Luis Robert, obviously going to be coming up early next season, whether he joins the team, you know, for the starter. I cannot wait to see what he looks like in the preseason. I mean, he's a monster. I mean, he has really bulked up as a as an athlete. I mean, he really, you know, he came in as like a as a kid, right? I mean, and now he is he looks like a lot of these guys who are in just amazing shape. You have Tim Anderson, who's probably going to win the batting championship. You've got Yoan Moncada, you've got Abreu, you've got just a core of great players here. What is your anticipation for what the White Sox are going to do? Are they a year away, 2 years away from being a real threat?
A year. Get pitching. Listen to what you said. Tim Anderson, batting title. Jose Abreu, RBI title. Yoan Moncada, I promise you he's going to finish in the top five in MVP next year if he stays healthy. This kid, it's finally happening. It's coming together. Switch hitter, power, everything. Jimenez, who's going to be, you know, finishing probably, if it wasn't for Alvarez in Houston,
he might win the Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, yeah.
You have offensive tools. You get a center fielder who can get on base and you know, put up some good numbers, but they have every tool when it comes to the offensive side. All it is right now is pitching. Go after Gerrit Cole. You know, you have this window. Here's your first. And what happened with the Cubs? Had all these young players. You went out there. You got John Lester. You got that ace. You got that guy on the staff that could help. Then you signed the John Lackeys. You know, you get those guys that really establish your pitching staff, and then you shore up the back end of your bullpen. The White Sox got a good thing going, man. They're talented. They can score runs. They just need pitching. That's it. That's the only thing. And they got some young guys who now, when you have a Dylan Cease, you know, a young guy like that, and you can slide him in behind these other guys, and he doesn't have to be the Messiah, the next guy. He can be somebody who complements those guys, like Kyle Hendricks was. Then now you're dangerous. And I think they're so close that if they just get pitching, they can compete with anybody in that division.
It's interesting you say that, because that's an interesting mentality for a pitcher, right? You have to think about that. If all of a sudden you're a kid coming up, and you know, Dylan Cease had an up and down rookie year, right? I mean, it's unclear what we're really going to see out of him right now. But if you have that, if you don't have to be the Messiah, if you don't have to be that, and yeah, Giolito, who at the moment appears to be more messianic than some of the other people,
he's your opening day starter,
right? You know, But you got, and then now, you know, Kopech coming back at some point, you've got you get a superstar, it changes the dynamic completely. I think that's an excellent point. All right, now what's the real question here. And I keep bringing this up, and everybody gets mad at me. All my, you know, these people, I'm surrounded by lifelong Sox fans, and then they go, "You do not have a right to this opinion," when I say it, but I say it nonetheless.
It's true.
Demp, you know how this goes. I wonder if whatever happens on the north side here, if Joe Maddon stays or goes, you know, you got some other people who are, if he goes, is it somebody that the White Sox might be interested in? If he stays, you know, now all of a sudden, other people who've been in the conversation about who would be replacing Joe Maddon are available. And, you know, quite honestly, I got Joe Girardi is a very interesting player. He's got Chicago roots, right? Mm-hmm. And he was, amazingly successful in the American League as a manager. I think you got to look at that, right?
Yeah, I think everybody has to look at Joe Girardi. And you know, the reality is this guy's a proven big league manager who's won a World Series. You know, he won the Manager of the Year and got fired the next year.
Yeah. Well,
because Florida, I guess, Jeffrey Loria. So, but, you know, you have a guy who's extremely qualified, and I talked to Joe at the network. Joe loves working with the young kids. So when you got a young core of players, he's like, they're hungry, they want it, they listen, they're motivated. You know, and he knows what he's doing. He's as qualified as anybody out there to manage in the New York with the Yankees and won a World Series.
Yeah.
And then won again and kept winning. He didn't win the World Series, but he had winning teams, and they just decided to go in a different direction. He took the year off to go, you know, be with his family and do that. So, you know, I know he wants to get back in there. He would, if anybody hires him, it'd be a good move by the organization because he'd do a great job.
All right.
For sure.
Ryan Dempster, you're going to be on the MLB Network during the playoffs, right?
I got the whole month off. I took it off because I was hoping that the Cubs were going to be in the playoffs, but that's not working out. So I'm available for freelance work. And
oh, my God.
Put it out there.
He's broadcast homeless. I've been there. I know exactly what that feels like. Offthemound.com, by the way. Offthemound.com if you want to find Ryan Dempster on the stuff. Well, we'll have you back for this then.
Yeah, we love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love talking with you guys.
And we'd like to talk to you about all things Canadian, too.
We didn't get to that.
And we'll get him over to Zany's for a couple of sets as well.
Yeah.
How about that?
I really love the idea of maybe just talking Hawks with him.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ryan.
Ryan Dempster.
All right, guys. Have a great night.
You too. Let's check in with Kim Gordon. What's coming up in the news at the top of the hour?
Roe, the Chicago Teachers Union, and CPS taking a break from the bargaining table this weekend after no deal was reached today. We'll bring you the latest on a possible teacher strike coming up.
Kim Gordon's coming up in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio in just about, let's call it 2 minutes. But who's really counting? In the 6 o'clock hour on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis as we head toward the weekend. We are going to be joined. Mr. Richard Roper, of course, is here. We're going to be going over the movies and the controversy, big controversies this weekend over a couple of different movies. And that is as we get ready for the premiere of The Joker next week. But they're doing the world premiere this weekend, and there is all kinds of crazy controversy surrounding
sure,
this.
Sure, definitely.
To be extra security at the theaters. There are new rules if you want to go see the movie, what you can and you cannot wear. So there's all of that. We'll talk about that. And there's very good news for people who are Spider-Man fans. Spider-Man is officially back in the Marvel Universe after a fight between Sony and Disney. And they worked it out. And he's going to be back, and we'll find out what exactly he'll be able to do. Richard Roper will be able to fill us in on that as well. And I know there's a lot of people who are upset about that when the Disney and Marvel thing happened, and there was that, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, poor Spider-Man. It was like, you know, the kid that...
Right, so mommy and daddy are fighting. Just right. Let him be Spider-Man.
They were going to send him to another foster home, and that didn't seem all that right. And, you know, he gets even. I don't know if you know those movies. But
watch out.
That dude does get even. And also, we're going to talk to Mark McKinnon. From The Circus, that is the Showtime show about, you know, they follow all the candidates and all that stuff around. He's got some thoughts on everything that just happened this week and what his crews have been up to. It's been a little bit of something. And if there's time, we sat down earlier in the week with Robert Iger. He talks about this actually, the Marvel and some of the other things that happened in the Disney universe here that, he's the chairman of Disney, I should say, the Walt Disney Company, and he's been there for 15 years. He's written a book now called The Ride of a Lifetime, and he has some thoughts on all of these mega mergers. He's been involved in a number of them and a couple that didn't go through, which is really fascinating. One with Twitter and one with Apple, of all things. Can you imagine if those two companies had gotten together? It's almost too freaky to possibly consider. It's 6 o'clock. Chicago stories are told 24-7 on 720 WGN. Chicago smart speaker users just say play WGN radio on TuneIn. Kim Gordon has the news. No Con Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Is it still raining?
Oh, man.
Boy, is it.
I'm watching lightning.
Yeah.
That is in the skies. Very scary stuff.
Yeah.
Surrounding us, pretty much. Yeah. We're surrounded by lightning.
Yeah. Thunder and lightning, very, very frightening me. Mm-hmm.
Looks very threatening.
Richard Roper is in the studio with us. Hey. And let's talk about the movies coming out this weekend.
Sure.
I know we talked a little bit yesterday.
Of course.
About it, but we just a review. And then a couple of the big stories.
What's
surrounding
going on
Hollywood,
in the movie world? Yeah. Why don't we start off with the movie Judy, which has been getting a lot of Oscar buzz for Renee Zellweger, who is playing Judy Garland. And this is one of those movies where the opening credits, when they put her name on there, Judy, it's all like in spangly ruby red things, letting you know, hey, we're going to put on a show. Here we go. and so Renee Zellweger plays Judy Garland. And obviously everybody knows the Judy Garland story. This, you know, just beloved, iconic, you know, star of obviously Wizard of Oz and Star is Born and Meet Me in St. Louis, et cetera, who lived a very sad and unfortunate life, starting from the time when she was a child star in the MGM studio system way back in the day, and Louis B. Mayer and others. They controlled every facet of her life. And this film, it shows a lot of those early scenes of her, even on a stage date with a young Mickey Rooney. Mm-hmm. And there's another scene where...
They were really together, weren't they?
Yeah, but it was mostly, she wanted actually to have a little romance, and Mickey, you know, before he married his 12 wives... Mm-hmm. Was a couple of years older and was more like, kid, let's just be friends. I think he was actually looking out for her, and nobody else was, unfortunately. Hmm. You know, they put her on diet pills. When it was time for her 16th birthday party, they threw it on the studio lot 3 months before her actual 16th birthday party because she wouldn't be available with all hired friends and a cake she wasn't allowed to touch and a swimming pool she wasn't allowed to jump into. It was a photo op.
How horrible.
So you see this in flashbacks. And then the bulk of the movie... takes place in 1968-69, the winter of 68-69 in London. Judy Garland was 46. She was down on her luck. She needed money. She was not getting work in the United States. In fact, couldn't support her two young children, who were now back with her most recent ex-husband. But in London, she was still a huge star. So she got one of those, almost like when you see stars now, they have a residence in Las Vegas, mm-hmm. where Britney Spears or Celine Dion. So she was going to play a series of concerts at the same venue for like a month or more and, you know, get a good paycheck. And it's all about how when she took the stage and she had it together, she still could knock everybody out. And, you know, they had a full band and dancing girls and everything. But that was a rare occasion. A lot of other nights, she couldn't remember the lyrics. She'd stumble about. She wouldn't show up. She was a mess. She was addicted to pills. She was drinking herself to death. And in fact, 6 months after the events of this movie, she died at the age of 47. So Renee Zellweger, I think, is very good as Judy Garland, but I do feel it's more of an impersonation than a performance. I know a lot of people are talking about Best Actress. I think she could get nominated. I'm giving the film 2.5 stars. I think some of it is really well done. The production numbers, the earnestness of the performance, the flashback scenes are chilling. But I don't think they captured the full extent of the joy that Judy Garland brought to people, and also the joy that she sometimes had in her life. And there are just brief, brief moments you see of that, almost none of that, where even when she's really knocking it out on stage, there's a kind of, you know, frantic desperation. I think the film missed by not showing us other points of her life. Mm-hmm. And even in the flashback scenes, we never see the young Judy Garland performing. We only see her backstage and utterly miserable. So we get the same message over and over again. So it makes, it should be a more uplifting. Yes, she had an ultimately tragic end, but her art lives on. And I think the film should have reflected that.
It's amazing when artists like that, and again, like you said, down on her luck at the very end. It's even part of the, excuse me, my
it's time for your,
going
it's,
off.
That's that row is a lightning app.
The National Weather Service.
Time to put on your thunder shirt.
NWS?
It's a severe thunderstorm warning that has just been issued for Will and Kankakee counties.
Yeah,
beginning
be careful out there, folks.
At right now and going all the way through 6:56 tonight. There you go. So, all right. The thing that the Judy Garland is known for more than anything else, right, is this incredible canon of, you know, great film work, which she was not getting paid for at that point in her life, in 68 and 69, because all those structures were different
exactly
than they would be now. And as a matter of fact, it was right at that era in which the television people started, you know, squawking about that
right,
and wanting their money for residual payment. And you know, you had the Screen Actors Guild and the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, which are now merged together as one union, but they were separately fighting to make sure that these people were going to get, you know, long-term residuals. Because you did have Judy Garland after not only, you know, being in some of the most iconic films of all times, and one of the most recorded and re-released artists of all times, musically, she had nothing. Right. And she had been married to Vincent Minnelli, who was, you know, incredibly successful.
Liza's father.
Right. Yeah. Incredible actor. And then that Luft guy that was, you know, Lorna Luft's father.
Yeah, Sid Luft. And, yeah. And in this movie, it accurately depicts she had one last marriage, you know, very late in her life with a young guy who was kind of a hustler in looking for different ways to take advantage of her name. And as you point out, Ro, and, you know, she still was only in her mid-40s, and a lot of big stars from the 40s and 50s were at least, you know, getting some television opportunities. Lucille Ball started in movies. Agnes Moorehead, who played the mom on Bewitched, was in Citizen Kane. Henry Fonda had a TV show.
But she was too much of a mess to show.
But they couldn't rely on her to do that. And there's, you know, unfortunately, you can see the footage on YouTube, some of these talk show appearances where it was just sad, you know. And yeah, if she had been, you know, if she had, and look, you look at, you know, the early to mid 60s toward the end of her career, and you look at, you know, what was happening in Vegas with Sinatra and Dean Martin and everybody. And, you know, Judy Garland, had she been in a different place in terms of taking care of herself, would have been amazing as part of the Rat Pack in Vegas and doing performances and making oodles of money. But that's, you know, she went to London because, you know, in the United States, she really had, you know, as the film, you know, depicts, she was living in hotels. And then she'd eventually, you know, and kind of, you know, she was still Judy Garland. And then eventually they'd say, you know, you haven't paid the bill in a month, you got to go. And that's why her husband finally said, I got to take the custody of these two young kids. There's a brief appearance that's kind of interesting. I wish they'd shown more of this. Liza at the time was just coming up, was probably 20 or something like that, and was just, you know, just before she was going to hit it. And they, you know, there's a scene where Judy goes to a party where it's all Liza and her college friends, or, you know, college age friends, and they're all excited to see her, but you could just tell it's sort of awkward for everybody. because it's clear that Judy's in a very sad place.
That would make a really good Netflix series, you know, like a limited series, her life. There's all those stars from that era. You could do these biopic sort of extended things that... I'm surprised that that's not already a genre.
There's that. Well, that is a great point, and I think that's what that Fosse Verdon series that just won a couple of Emmys, which was about Bob Fosse, the famous choreographer, right, and Gwen Verdon and their relationship, and that was because the material itself, and that's the thing. I mean, the Judy Garland story feels like A Star Is Born, which of course she starred in 1954. The movie does that again. I think a lot of people that are huge fans of Judy Garland will go see it. And there's a lot of admiration for the Renee Zellweger performance.
She does her own singing. Oscar buzz,
yeah,
right,
and
this role.
You know, but to me, it falls short of the great performances of musical biopics that we've seen. Although it's better than Rami Malek limp singing in Bohemian Rhapsody last year. But hey, we're not going to
bring that up
anymore.
I can't get over
that one.
Not to bring that one up.
Richard did not like that movie.
I still know.
And it's funny because I didn't see it for a while. And he was like, it's not worth seeing. And then I had all these friends who saw it and go, oh, God, it was the greatest movie ever.
It's amazing.
And I kept saying, Richard didn't really like it. They go, well, oh, I don't care. It was the greatest movie ever. And then I watched it. And I'm like, I saw what you didn't see in it. Right. I got exactly what your criticism of it was. And I'm like, all right, but it's an entertainment. It's a whatever it is. I love this. There's another guy. See, they should give Freddie Mercury that treatment, that Netflix treatment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that story
is amazing.
Is complex amazing. And amazing. Yeah. And they couldn't do it in a 2-hour movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, they whitewashed this whole story. And I it was just on the other day. And of all the things that drove me nuts about that, and look, all of these movies take flights of fancy and poetic license, but the fact that they shamelessly depicted Live Aid, which had every major musical act of the time, right? U2 and Paul McCartney and Madonna in London as well as, I think, was it? I'm not sure if it was Philadelphia. It was in New York or, United States and London at the same time. And according to this movie, all these great performers were on stage doing all this great music, and the phones weren't ringing backstage at Live Aid. No one was pledging any money, and they kept showing, nothing, the phones aren't ringing. And then Freddie Mercury and Queen take the stage, and the phones ring off the hook. And I'm like, come on! Are you really telling us that happened? Oh, sorry, Sir Elton. Nobody called in to donate to our cause. Right. Sorry, Bono.
Paul McCartney.
Sorry, Bon Jovi.
Stevie Wonder and all that.
Yeah, but now Freddie Mercury and Queen go out there in the phone. I mean, come on, man.
Right. We'll come back. We'll talk about there is other stuff, though, going on in the entertainment world.
Is.
We'll get to that and also Mark McKinnon a little bit later on in the program as well. But first, let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Roe, the special envoy to Ukraine, has resigned a day after the release of the whistleblower report. We'll bring you the details coming up.
All right, Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis.
Yes.
Richard Roper is here. Good news in the Marvel Universe if you like Spider-Man.
Yeah, you kind of figured they were going to figure this out and make up Sony Pictures and Marvel. There was a rights dispute and how much money was going to go to Sony, which has had Spider-Man, and there's kind of on loan or on a courtesy agreement. And then Marvel and Disney were saying, well, wait a minute. We need a bigger piece of the pie. And then there was a big announcement a couple of months ago. That's it. No more Spider-Man for anybody. You go to your room, everyone.
We'll never see Spider-Man again.
Yeah. And, oddly enough, a lot of the top brass at the studios, and, they all got involved here. And they said, listen, we're talking. Yeah. There has to be a discussion at some point where you're like, we're talking about a multi-billion dollar element of the franchise. People love Tom Holland, Spider-Man in particular. The last couple ones have been the best of the Spider-Man movies.
That's true.
And then he was dropped in really nicely in the Avengers movies, the Tom Holland Spider-Man character, because he represented every 16-year-old, 17-year-old teenage geek who was a huge fan of the Marvel Universe. He couldn't believe that he was meeting his heroes.
Right.
So he would even say that. Like, he kept saying, like, hi, I'm Peter Parker. Nice to meet you. And it's like, I'm Black Panther. It was fantastic. And Robert Downey Jr.'s Tony Stark became his father figure.
Yeah.
Because, as everybody knows,
don't bring it up.
Peter Parker Spider-Man's Uncle Ben, because nobody gets parents in these movies. You know,
right.
They're going to die. But, you know, Uncle Ben has been murdered 175 times over the years in the Marvel Universe, and it's just his Aunt May, mm-hmm. who's now hot, who used to look like Helen Hayes and now is Marissa Tomei.
Yeah.
But he's never had a father figure, and Tony Stark became a father figure. And that was a really nice relationship that played out over the last couple Avengers movies, and really made us, you know, identify with.
And now we got Jon Favreau playing him. And all
he's dating. He's dating Aunt May now. Which is, you know, his name is Happy, and Spider-Man's not happy about Happy.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
moving in. You're not the boss of me.
It's interesting because Spider-Man as a brand has been pretty wide. You know, they talk about brand extension and the worry about brand extension, and there have been, you know, there's Spider-Man the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, is that right? That's the animated stuff that was a beautiful,
amazing.
Won the Academy Award for Best Animated Film last year.
An amazing film.
It was
not 100% related to this other stuff that's happening, but you feel it. You feel a connection to the brand of Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And to keep Spider-Man alive, and then also for whatever is going to be, I know that Disney did this. In Anaheim. At Disneyland, they had that DisneyCom or whatever it was that looked at the forward. It's like the Comic-Con version, but just for the company.
Right.
And they had the list of all of, after they purchased Marvel a couple of months ago, they put the list of all of the Marvel projects that are in development at the moment, like through the next 8 years.
Yeah.
And you don't really get a sense, because a bunch of untitled projects,
right,
but you get a sense that they're going to be rolling these things in. They've got new characters coming up. They're going to be, you know,
exactly.
It looks like Black Panther is going to be, you know, Black Panther and the Captain Marvel, are going to be two of the most important figures,
and then a new version of Captain America. You know, because Captain America, you know, the Chris Evans character. A lot of the characters have seen their story arcs, you know, end with the Avengers movies. But as the comic book geeks know, there's always a new version. There's a black Captain America. There's a female Captain Marvel. There's, you know, all this kind of cool stuff. And I think they kind of let us know. I mean, the last two, you know, Avengers Endgame, it was called Avengers Endgame. And it was the biggest of any of these movies in terms of the cast and the scope I think they're ever going to do. And I like that for a lot of these movies, including the Spider-Man movies, they're not quite, it's not always the end of the world. It's not always somebody from outer space coming down. Because I think what you saw with the Avengers movies, too, is like, as great as Spider-Man and Ant-Man and even Black Panther are, they're much more human in terms of what they can do and how they can do it. And then when you get these, so you have these giant battles, and like, you know, the Thors and, you know, and the Hulks and stuff are so much more powerful, and they're so much bigger that the smaller superheroes didn't have as much to do. It's like, oh, Spider-Man's, you know, he's zipping around on his web while people are, you know, hurling, you know, giant fireballs to Neptune. And he's like, kind of, he kind of gets lost in the story. So I think if they humanize these stories. And the other thing they're going to do, which is a smart way for certain characters that have died off, you can go back and tell their stories. Like, so the Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow, spoiler alert, didn't get out of the Avengers series alive. Mm-hmm. But they can go back and show her story 25 or 20 years ago, like her origin story, which was never fully told, or maybe some people felt successfully told.
But I don't like watching people I already know are dead.
Well, that's always tricky.
I like a cloning. Okay, they're back.
It's always a little tricky.
Or their kids. Their kids become something big or something.
Well, their finger was twitching. I don't know.
Yeah,
something.
I mean, it depends. I mean, yeah, because, you know, there's talk then, like, that's a way to bring the Tony Stark character back. You know, if you have flashback, you know, he had such a great arc, and Robert Downey Jr. was so great in that. I don't want to see him doing a glorified cameo in a movie 3 years from now as some holographic, you know, Tony. You know, the only time it works is if you have Robert De Niro play the Godfather back in Italy. Okay, that was fine. That worked.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a good prequel. That was a good origin story.
Yeah, right. And because you already had something really moving pretty well going that way.
Yeah,
you're right. You are right. Well, I'm just glad because Spider-Man is, I like Batman probably the best, but he's in the wrong universe for me, apparently. I don't know what to do. It's like, you know, it's sort of like being an NFL fan and a USFL fan. It just never really quite worked out. But Spider-Man in that universe is just, I think he's great. And Tom Holland, as you point out,
he's a terrific actor. Yeah. And on the plus side of the DC universe, which is always struggling to catch up, their one unqualified success, of course, has been Wonder Woman. you know, Gal Gadot was great as well. And there's the Wonder Woman that's coming out next year is interesting because it's going to be set in the 1980s, which is going to be, you know, I think it opens it up for some cool stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be her story, not her with Superman and Batman and Aquaman all
But it's going to be her.
It's Gal Gadot. Yeah. They,
in Patty sort of Jenks, a Farrah Fawcett
director.
Haircut.
Yeah, which
kinda
is kind
like
of interesting.
Linda Carter,
exactly.
Back in the day.
And, you know, that's kind of fun. And I think that's, you know, and Patty Jenks, who directed the first one, is also directing this one, and that's a big hit. Oh, I gotta, can I take, do we have time real quick and tell you about another movie that we just got a release date for? Not a superhero movie, but a superhero director, Clint Eastwood, who's into his 90s now, right? Jeez. He made a movie this summer, and he, you know, Warner Brothers, like, they just give him a couple million, he goes out and shoots it, it takes him like a month and a half. He made a movie this summer that's coming out in a month, and it's about Richard Jewell and the Atlanta bombings and that whole story, and people might remember he was the security guard who was falsely accused
and
they plastered everywhere as the guy responsible for the bombings at the 96 Olympics. And Clint Eastwood has done a movie about that, finished making it, and like 3 months later it's going to be in theaters.
What a rock star.
Amazing.
And I bet it's good.
Who's going to say no to Clint Eastwood, right? The editors, all the people that have got to go work on this to make that happen, the efficiencies of that, they're probably all people who've been with him forever.
That's 100% true.
Right? And they were getting off his lawn back then, too. And now here he is, you know, still able to do it. And the fact that he can get around doing it
is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that is.
And so efficiently.
Because once you turn 90, it's, you know, it's day to day.
Get that movie out.
Yeah. I'm sorry for all those who are listening right now who have turned 90. But yeah, you know I'm right about that. So that's where it is. All right. Don't anybody move. We're going to talk to our good friend Mark McKinnon from The Circus is going to join us. And if there's enough time, we'll play this interview that we did earlier in the week with Bob Iger, the chairman of the Walt Disney Company, too. It's a lot of stuff happening here on a Friday afternoon on The Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis. Right now, the news with Kim Gordon at 6:30. Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, which means the World Wide Web and the apps and all the rest of that. Okay, Mark McKinnon joins us from the circus. What a week to be following the presidential election of 2020. Let's just start with this. Do you believe that any kind of an impeachment thing is possible here, or is this just another false start by the Democrats?
Well, what I think is that I'm really glad that we timed it to come back during Infrastructure Week. who could have known that this would end up being Infrastructure Week? Here's what I think is going to happen. I think it's going to turn out just like Bill Clinton. I think the House will vote to impeach. They'll draft articles of impeachment, and they'll vote for it, and it'll come out of the House, and it'll go over to the Senate. And the Senate, which requires 2/3 vote to vote for impeachment, that means you need 16 senators, Republicans.
Right.
And that's highly unlikely.
Let me ask you, though. As a political operative for many years of your career, what do you think could make those people, Republicans in the Senate, make a decision to go with this, especially if it turns out that all of our worst fears are realized here, that he was really trying to use his force and power and Ukrainian military money that was coming from the United States to there? If he used all of that to try to exert his will over the Ukrainian president to interfere in the 2020 election, I mean, that's about as bad as it can get for a president, isn't it?
Well, you'd think so, but, you know, having talked to a bunch of those senators and Congress, Republican members of Congress, I don't think that's the threshold for them. I mean, I think they say, you know, they're screaming no quid pro quo. Of course, you don't need a quid pro quo, and a lot of people would argue that they're, a quid pro quo doesn't need to be explicit. In this case, the president just withheld funds for a week before they had the telephone conversation.
But we also don't see any of the other underlying details here. There will be a full transcript of this phone call. We might hear other things. We're only relying on the partial.
Yeah, and I think the thing that could move those senators is if, for example, there were some true obstruction of justice and some blatant obstruction of justice, like eliminating files or tampering with evidence. That I think would be a threshold breaker.
Right. Do you think?
And we already know that they move stuff to a different server. Which is, how much irony is there in that?
Yeah.
I think I've heard that story before, right?
Right. So it as obviously politically, you last week on the circus. You guys were out following, as you do everything, you're following Democrats, you know, as they're working their way through that, the debate that they had, and then through Trump going down to New Mexico, which was kind of an interesting choice for him. And right. It just seems like, you know, we are split 49-49, and you and I are in the 1%. So
yeah, exactly right. Yeah.
I don't know where this thing all ends up, but it certainly seems as though, as you watch Fox News and you listen to Republicans and you listen to people who have been partisan to the president already, they're like, what is there to see here? So what? Everybody does it. That's the explanation. Everybody does it. The economy is good. What do we need this guy for? And let me play something for you. There's a wise sage I saw on television last Sunday night say these words.
Here's what they're going to be saying. They want to take away your guns. They want to take away your private health insurance. They want to take away your border security and give away $1,000 to every taxpayer with your money.
Here, please take this stick and beat me with it.
Yeah.
All of those
I could run a campaign on that.
Yes, you could run a campaign on that.
You have run a campaign on that, but here's another thing that's happened.
So there's a genius, Mark McKinnon, saying that all the Republican leadership has to say to the Republican voting base and to America, there's those words that they're going to take everything away and this is going to be a mess and the economy is going to go in the toilet. And I think there's, despite all the rest of the behavioral issues with the president, that's probably a winning message.
Yeah, I mean, it's not hard to figure out what that playbook's going to be, and the Democrats keep handing them ammunition. You know, now Democrats have said out loud what Republicans have been saying. They've been secretly planning all along, which is taking away everyone's guns, and that they're going to, you know, not only, you know, reduce border security, but give immigrants free health care that come across the border. And give away $1,000 a month to every taxpayer and give away free college and free everything. So, yeah, it's pretty simple. And so their message is, listen, we got a guy who, you know, doesn't always play by the rules, does things a little differently, but he gets stuff done. And he gets stuff done that you want done. And, you know, we let these socialist Democrats take over. It's going to ruin the economy. And you're going to be living in a socialist society. So it's going to get ugly, and it's going to get ugly fast. So we'll have that, and we'll have impeachment going on, and it's just going to be hysterical on both sides. And I think what's going to happen, Rose, that it's going to energize both sides to a point where we're going to see, you know, the highest turnout we've ever seen on either side in any presidential election ever.
Well, at least that's good news, right? I mean, that's people are going to be engaged.
People are interested, and they're engaged. That's a good thing. Sure. Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Biden. Does Biden get banged up here because of this as much as anybody else?
I have two instincts about that. One is that this has raised a story that we've all known about for a long time and we assumed was going to surface at some point. And now it has, of course. And nobody's suggesting, well, that there probably are people suggesting that there's something illegal that happened. But from all we know about this story of Hunter Biden is that he went to work for a Ukrainian oil company on their board, and they had no Russian background, no background in energy experience. So it was quite obviously that he got that job because his father was vice president. No question about that. And that may not be illegal, but it's sure skeezy. You know, I mean, it's just old school politics, and it's the swampy stuff that people come to hate about Washington. So it's not good, you know, because it does just sort of it puts a target on Biden that so then the Democrats don't even need to say it now because Trump has added the story to just say that he does things the old way and we're trying to do things a new way. It's time for a new generation. And by the way, we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, Elizabeth Warren has a big anti-corruption measure that she's doing that I don't know all the specifics of, but I suspect would probably outlaw that kind of activity. So she doesn't even have to say it out loud. It's sort of just implicit. So I think he gets tagged with that, and I think that's problematic because it just makes him seem more like old Washington when you have, you know, a lot of people thinking about sort of, you know, they want to elect new Democrats, you know, with new ideas and a new generation. So that doesn't help. My other instinct is that there may be a big sympathy reaction, too, that people just say, Jesus Christ, you know, they're going after his son and his, you know, his other son died and, you know, his other kids died in a car wreck and his wife died in a car. How much does this guy have to go through? So there could be kind of a sympathy thing that rebounds to him, too.
Well, it is also true that the president's kids, right, they're actively involved in business and in government simultaneously, and it would be a great irony for them to go after. But irony is not met here on both sides. The left sees it as ironic. The right sees it as, oh, you know, who cares? He's doing what I want him to do. Right. Or he's representing my anger or my, you know, my mistrust of government or whatever it is, you know, whatever they find. Yeah. He's a Rorschach test, I think, for a lot of people, half the country. Right. So you get whatever you want. Now, Biden, though, doesn't also seem all that well. Right. Bernie doesn't seem well. And if Bernie goes out and it's Biden and Elizabeth Warren, doesn't Bernie get move? Don't the Bernie people move toward Warren?
Absolutely, 100% of them do, and they've already started. So I just think that Warren has a ton of momentum, and Bernie's slipping, Biden's slipping, and you know all those Bernie votes are going to her. Some of those Biden votes are going to her. So she's in a very good position right now, and you know she's got a great organization in Iowa. She's not only smart policy wise; she's been doing things very smart politically. Good organization. So I think she's the odds-on favorite right now.
Can she beat Donald Trump? Based on what we just played just a few minutes ago, when we played you laying out last week on the circus on Showtime, all of those things that they're going to say. What goes on there?
Well, I just tell my Republican friends and my Trump colleagues that beware of what you ask for, because they're all salivating to run against Elizabeth Warren, Pocahontas. But here's the thing. One, she's just a really good candidate. She's a woman, which I think is a real advantage in the current environment. She's got a ton of ideas, a lot of which they don't like. But here's the thing, and here's the irony: her macro message and her macro narrative, and she's got a very tight, compelling narrative, by the way, which is part of why she's doing so well too, that Clinton never had. Her overarching message is the system is rigged, and you're getting screwed. That's exactly what Donald Trump's message was. It was for all these sort of grievance voters who feel like they've been screwed by the system. It's just that Donald Trump says it's immigrants and we need to build a wall. Elizabeth Warren saying it's greedy capitalists and we need to redistribute their wealth. It's just a different prescription and cause, but the macro sort of condition is the same. So that's going to appeal to a lot of, and by the way, somebody did some research in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania and did it with a bunch of Trump voters and didn't say that they were Elizabeth Warren ideas and talked about, you know, eliminating college debt and, you know, free this and free that. And, you know, the hands were going up saying, oh, I'm for that. So, you know, you tell them it's Elizabeth Warren and they sort of go, oh, well, now I'm not sure about that. But the point is that she's a populist, you know, she's a populist, and that's going to light up those Democratic voters. So it'll be heavy turnout. And I just say that there's going to be some voters out there who I think there'll be some Trump Warren voters who would just say, you know, he said he was going to change things for me and hadn't changed. And she recognizes that I'm getting screwed. And maybe there's a different way to solve it than what Donald Trump has been talking about.
Let's see. Where are you guys on the circus this week?
Well, we were in Washington all week, and we left last night because John and I are at a thing in Austin, Texas, but Alex is still there today to cover anything that might break today. But we already have like a 4-hour show. Once again, we're trying to figure out what to cut.
I'll bet that's true. Hey, I want to mention something also. Speaking of Austin, Texas, I saw that Joe Walsh is in Austin, Texas for whatever this big event is going to be.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. This weekend. And you had Joe Walsh on, obviously well known to the Chicago area here. He's running for president. He was the one-term congressman from the northwest suburbs. He is not a beloved figure here, I don't think. And, you know, it's hard. I think you know this as well as anybody. It's hard to be a one-term congressman, right? I mean, you ran campaigns. Yeah. It's pretty tough to lose on your first go-around. So he said something, though, and this is the first time I want to play this. This is the first time that I've heard a conservative acknowledge this.
There is still a conservative media swamp.
Yeah.
Or at least on our side. I'd argue it's on the other side, too.
Yeah.
You know, you try to be as outrageous as you can and say things.
You're kind of admitting the notion that if either you're a racist or you're not a racist, but you're willing to say racist things in order to get ratings.
I find that fascinating because that's, I mean, you know, it's pretty obvious to us in the business what goes on. I mean, there's people who have very pointed agendas, and we know that they're they're specifying certain demographics. Joe Walsh is basically coming out of that fever swamp and admitting that that's really what this was all about.
Yeah, it was remarkable, you know, just for him, somebody to actually say out loud what we know to be true. But this is the first time to hear somebody be that candid about it. So I was really struck by that. But I have to say, after I was watching that, I did sort of ask after we were putting the show together, I was like, wait a minute, he was a one-term congressman? How did that happen?
Right. Well, that's why.
That's why.
Yeah, I think it's self-explanatory there. But I mean, that's and the president still very much lives, you know, on the rules of that, on the rules of that sort of, you know, say outrageous things, get everybody's attention, say things that are can be seen by racists as lining up with their own thoughts about sociology. And still have enough wiggle room to get out of it and go, well, that's not what I meant, right? I mean, it's like...
Yeah, I love the line that somebody said, you know, somebody asked this person if the president was a racist. He said, I don't know if he's a racist, but racists think he's a racist.
Right, that's true. All right. This weekend, it's Sunday night. It'll be 18 hours long, but I think they're still saying you got to be 30 minutes. I don't know how you're going to do
it. It's
going
to be a Ken Burns documentary.
Mark McKinnon from The Circus. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
All right, Coach. Kick it hard.
Let's check in now with Mr. Jennings. David Jennings in the newsroom. What's going on? Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantis, 720 WGN, and Mark Carmen.
What a Friday.
May I ask you a question?
Hi, Ro.
Hello, Mark. Do you have an update on what, for White Sox fans who are waiting to hear what's going to happen?
I do. The games today have been canceled. This is the nightmare scenario, really, because it took forever to get through four innings, which was not enough, so that does not count. So that game has never actually been
taken
played. Right. So they will play a straight doubleheader tomorrow. 2:10, let's see here, 2:10. Will be the game time on Sunday, 2:40 tomorrow. 2:40, a straight doubleheader.
And then just one game on Sunday.
One game on Sunday. So now both the Sox and the Tigers are going to play 161 games in the 2019 season. So, again, doubleheader tomorrow starts at 2:40. They'll play straight through. And then Sunday's game is at 2:10, which was the same time that's always been scheduled.
And remind us why these games matter. For the Sox.
They slightly matter, I suppose, in where the White Sox finish on the year in draft position. So if they win out, perhaps they move up a slot. If they lose out or vice versa or somewhere in the middle, they could drop down one. Most likely it's not going to mean anything, but that's why
I think that would have to have been determined in whatever this math was.
Yeah, probably so.
Right, that they would know, because otherwise they would, I mean, there's so much money on the line with a draft pick and all of that. You know, in draft position, there probably was. It's got to be no muss, no fuss situation.
The White Sox and the Padres are both sitting with 70 wins right now, for whatever that's worth. The Pirates are at 68, and the Angels are at 72. So there's three games left here. The White Sox, in theory, could get past the Angels, or they could be passed up by the Rockies, who are playing the Brewers over the weekend. So none of this is going to, I don't think, impact the White Sox long-term here, but that's all, I guess, in play.
Hey, Carms, Justin here.
Yeah, Justin.
A question, though. You know, one thing we've been talking about all the last couple of weeks is just this losing 90 games. And there's a little bit of sentimentality to the idea of not losing 90. And to think about it, they actually got it's a wash, literally, by not playing today. But they with 88 losses, they now have to win only one of the next three to, or two of the next three to
not be a 90-game loser.
To not be a 90-game loser. It's actually a win for them.
That's true. I mean, I think the White Sox,
I think they're going to win these games anyway.
Yeah, sure.
They were losing today.
That's early. You know how they come back late. They do. I mean, they get, you know, all of a sudden, next thing you know, Abreu's up and he hits an 8-run home run. Somehow, it's still worth 8 runs. I don't know how it happens, but I've seen it happen a few times this season.
I think it's a big deal, Carms. I think it's a big deal that they don't lose 90. For them to have sort of a tough second half and to finish strong and not lose 90, because if you, a great stat, in 2014, the Chicago Cubs, the year before 2015 and everything, 2016,
the magic
they
happened.
They were 73-89. And the Chicago White Sox right now are, what, 68-88 or something like that?
Don't you think it would be interesting? though, if they lost 90, if they, just in case it happens, I'm not wishing that upon them, but if they were to lose 90 and then next year make the playoffs, go, last year, and 90 game loser. That's how it will open for the first game of the playoffs, right?
Right, the narrative.
That deal.
There's few things in life that I feel confident about, but how this weekend turns out is going to have no impact on the White Sox next season.
That's really the truth, isn't it?
Look at us trying to make it into something. We are in broadcasting. We're trying to make a mountain out of something that is not
I'm staying with it.
Yeah.
Don't lose 90.
It's a solid angle. Look, they lost 100 last year, so they're at least going to improve by, at worst, I guess, if they lose out 9 games. So more like, say, let's just call it 11 game improvement. It's a solid improvement. They will improve by 11 next year. They're over 500. Hopefully they'll improve by more.
Nice.
There we go.
Oh,
Tim Anderson.
I like that trajectory.
Yeah.
Now, that's the only thing I really care about right now. Can Tim Anderson win the batting title?
Well, this actually does help him.
He's 0-2.
It's less right. That gets
doesn't
ripped.
Count.
That doesn't count anymore.
I mean.
And he's got less opportunities now to go backwards with less games. I mean, he was going to get it anyway, but this does help Tim Anderson.
All right. See, I like what we did there. I'm not sure what the hell we did there, but I like what we did. What's going on in your program?
How you guys doing? Good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Justin.
A special program tonight for Extension 720, just in the fact it's special that we didn't know we had one.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's no games, so we're in. We're going to talk a little bit about the mayor's budget, which should be coming up in October.
Matt, so you're going to go line by line through it?
Line
since
by
you've
line.
Got 3 hours.
Get your pencils sharpened.
Got my reading glasses on. We're going to pay 400.
Let me just tell you something. The worst thing that we did all year was when we were doing the Bears picks, and there were five of us, and we were going through the whole year and going win, loss, win, loss. It was like watching
I got the Vikings. I did too.
A fantasy draft is what it was like. And if you've ever, oh, we got a fantasy draft in the house, it'll be a big party.
Hey.
And it turns out to a bunch of wonky people sitting around not talking to each other.
People watch people play video games then they love this, so this might be something new.
They could watch me pore over the budget. You can watch it on
that's now fascinating. The world's turned on its head.
The new alderman, the 47th ward, Matt Martin's going to join us, and we're going to talk about the Progressive Caucus and their position, because they just put out today their priorities for the budget, what they want to see happen. And I think it's interesting because they helped elect Mayor Lightfoot.
Mm-hmm.
And now Mayor Lightfoot will see if some of those priorities, which include TIF reform and some other, avoiding some of the big T tax ideas, let's see if that all plays out or if Lightfoot has moved on.
Well, the problem is
her progressive roots.
Problem is when it comes to the spending priorities, because it seems as if she's got a lot of people knocking on her door with multiple unions and everybody else with major pay increases.
So we'll talk about that.
All right. I want everybody to just stay right where they are. First of all, it is 7 o'clock right here. We have got to talk to Joe Brand for just one more minute before we do anything. And have a great weekend. Signing off from the Rocon Show with Anna DeVontis. Joe? Thank you, Joe. appreciate you being with us.
Do you want me to do a Joe Brand? I can do a Joe Brand.
I mean, Joe Brand's pretty good. Yeah, he has a network sound to him.
Yeah, right.
All right. I have to hold on. What I have to do? There we go. Joe, are you there?
Hey, I'm here, Ro.
All right, now you take it away for 1 minute. That's very important. Whatever you're doing.
Yeah, just officially concluding today's broadcast of White Sox baseball, a 4-2 lead for Detroit. Just not happening today. A doubleheader tomorrow, a straight doubleheader. It'll begin at 2:40. We'll start the pregame show at 2:05. Again, a straight doubleheader. Both teams finishing 2019 with 161 games. Final game on Sunday will just be a one-game contest. So that's it for the White Sox production here on the WGN Wintrust White Sox Radio Network, guys.